Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome new listeners to the Todd Glass Show. Before we get going, here's some stuff you should know. To tell if it's a bit or the truth from Todd, if he says potato salad or swear to God, those expressions are comedic, little darling. If Todd means the truth, he always says to George Carlin. And on the topic of bits, let's erase any doubt. Todd's almost always choking when he says, edit it out. The intro goes long, cause Todd's so big-hearted. Other podcasts end before his gets started. The intros are recorded on a phone, but don't worry, the audio of the show is at a higher quality. You know the Podcasters Association voted the Todd Glass Show number one. So welcome to the show.
Hey, it's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You know it inside, and when you ha ha hoo 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 hoo, I'm gonna hoo hoo. I don't let those pesky words get in my way. So, that's right. By the way, Saturday the 17th, I will be at the Comedy Cabaret in Doylestown, Saturday the 17th. Me, Chip Chantry, the whole Todd Glass band. It's going to be great. The Comedy Cabaret in Doylestown, Saturday, June 17th. And then I have a lot of new dates up on my website starting Monday. Today's Friday, right? So there's that. D.C., Vermont, Washington, D.C., Vermont, Doc's Lab in San Francisco, Portland, I'm coming. A lot of good cities. Denver, I'm part of the High Plains show, I think. In Denver in August. That's right. So anyway, today, God, it's a little bit of a little puzzle. So there's this part into my phone. Of course, you know that because you listened to the opening song. And then there's a part that we did just in the living room in my house, which you'll hear. That's the second part that we're going to throw to in a second here. That's right, we just did it at my house, in the living room. And then we throw it to an interview that we did in the barn with Fred Stoller. And there you go. So I still can't believe there's nobody that works for a court stenographer. I don't know why I can't believe that. Sure, of course I can believe it. And by the way, this Monday, whatever the date is, what's it, the 13th? I'm doing Getting Doug with I. Tune in. Tune in. Getting Doug with I. This Monday. All right. But what if someone's listening to the show later and... You're good? You're great? Alright, so, thank you. Enjoy the show. Aristotle, just roll it in. Let people be very graceful. All of a sudden, they're going to start hearing the show in the living room. I think I'm seeing
2R, 2L.
2R, 2L.
2.
And here it comes.
2R, 2L. 2R, 2L. It's a cold opening, folks. Right into a trivial game. What is that? People at home know. 2R, 2L. Where do you hear that?
2R, 2L.
I don't know.
2R, 2L.
You want me to tell you?
Is it right and left?
No. It's when you're on a plane sometimes and you're shutting all the doors for some reason.
2R, 2L.
What does it mean?
I don't know, and I could have it wrong, too, so I apologize. I just thought about it. I'm not positive. It's something like that. I bet a flight attendant's out there right now that knows. I think it is 2R, 2L. Oh, we always forget we have a computer right by our side. This is a cold opening, folks. We don't know what to call this show, okay? So here's what happened. Well, nothing happened. But we have we did an episode with Fred Willard.
Fred Stoller.
And but then we realized we wanted to do a little something before we played that. We were, you know, we're sitting around the house and we thought, well, I don't know, we're all in the mood to do a podcast, even though we thought that was a double one we did last week. We all, you know, recorded a show and then we did it one with Fred Stoller and we just thought we'd drop it this week. But then we're all sitting around, we're going, I want to do a podcast. So we're sitting in our living room. We do not have Aristotle, but we're around the dining room table and we have the computer. We have the boombox. You brought the drums, you know? Yeah. You want to give a little...
Not just a boombox, the case of bass.
Case of bass. Ready? Here we go. Yes. And then Aaron Simon is on the slide whistle. Wow. He is really good. And it's not as easy as it looks.
I'm on the coffee.
Eric is sipping coffee. I have a hot chocolate. Now, hold on. Let's go nice and slow. You can do me more. You can do all the slide whistle you want. I loved it last week. It always made me happy.
That was too much.
Now you're that pushing was... it. No, no. It made me happy again. The slide whistle is very happy. You can't... So now we're sitting in my dining room. We got the computer. You're very intense over there looking at the computer.
I think I know what 2L2R means.
Oh, what?
It's arming the two doors on each side.
Making what do you sure mean arming?
Locking them.
Yeah, making sure they're good to go.
Making sure they're good to go.
Buckling down the hatches.
2R2L.
What does that mean?
Making sure that they're, like, secure.
2R2L.
I get that, but where does that lingo come from?
It's time for questions from idiots.
Two
no, that wasn't nice.
There's two on the left and two on the right.
It's not. To George Carlin, I don't feel that way at all. That's the opposite of the energy that I want here. You're asking, any question is a good question. I never want to be. You've never laughed at me at a question. That was rude of me. I mean, I know you know I was being absurd, but still, even... even the joke, I could do without any. I don't like roasting unless it's totally, you know, it's a joke.
I knew. Well, I knew the whole time.
Yeah, I got you good.
Hello, everybody. This is Todd Glass. I'm on a PA system in my living room.
So we, thank you. And
my rights here.
Ah, you know what you get. Yay! And let me tell you something. We are having, my ride's here, does that count? No. I want to have a really good time tonight. What I want to do, I figured, why not do something different? So far I've told you everything that's going on. I'm going to even look at my phone, because if it's, I just want to see that no one's trying to call me. It'll make me feel better. And then, and I did have fresh air. I don't know, can I keep mentioning that? I mean, it's absurd at this point. But, and yeah, like I said, we just wanted to... We were in the mood, so we set it up here at the table. We have some, we even have some wine. We have some hot chocolate. Aaron, who is that, you?
No, that was Eric.
No, that's okay. Aaron Simon's here. Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
And then Eric is here.
Hi.
And then John Bram Wang.
Hey!
John, I want to talk to you about that seriously. And I do, I don't want to be... What are you doing over here?
Turning it on silent.
Turn it on silent, flush it in the toilet. But I do want to talk to you seriously before we can even edit this out. I don't care. I want you to be the voice that we hired. Yeah, to Eric, back me here.
Well,
you do this
like
new voice.
When we hit record, your voice changes.
You turn into a different person.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this. No, John.
That's not
John.
How you normally
That's
sound.
John. This is your, I don't know what voice
you're. You guys make me feel weird.
No.
John, you're talking weird.
Hold on. John.
You're talking weird to me.
No, John.
Saying
John,
I'm talking weird.
John, just stop for 1 second. We're going to play you on the podcast. We have it right here, and it's from when the first week you started, which you were great. I'll tell you why you were great. Because everyone's themselves. Everyone, you try to at least be yourself. And when you're yourself, it just makes a better show. I think most people can agree about that. Just try to be yourself as much as you can. The more you do the show, the more you turn into yourself. But
I couldn't be more comfortable right now.
Okay, you know why? Hold on. You don't
sound.
You know why Aaron Simon is laughing? Not because he doesn't love you. Because tell him. It's tell
it
me.
Just sounds odd. It
Thank
sounds,
you. It sounds odd.
Sounds it's like not, you're doing a voice.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing a voice.
Okay, I'll try to change my voice.
No, don't.
Just talk.
We're not asking you to change your voice.
Exactly.
We're asking you to just do your
do
normal
your normal voice.
Okay, this is my normal voice.
No, well, it's closer. It's closer.
Better. That is better.
But this won't. I'll give you that. But not this one either. Let me hear it a little.
Hello, Todd Glass. My name is Brian White.
You know what? I actually like it.
You know what? I do. I actually do like this voice. Is that okay?
Hey, it's just my normal voice.
Remember, you're going to have to talk like this all night.
How can I not forget how I normally talk?
It does seem pretty natural.
So, well, we'll be talking to you throughout the night.
Sounds great.
Hey, by the way, how's your mother?
Rosemary?
Yeah, sure.
She's great. Thanks for asking.
I'm tempted to ask you so many questions right now, because I know doing that voice is not easy, because you got to stay in that high range.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, of course you don't. All right, so there's there. Now let's test out some music. What do we start with? First, I thought, come in like this. Hey, everybody, it's not a no-show show, but it's a sit-around-the-dining-room table show and throw to a Fred Stoller interview. That's right, we're at a wood plank table with one candle, a glass of wine, some marijuana, and some drums. Play along! That's right, it's the Winter Concert Series.
Hey there, Jersey girl!
So that's the type of things we'll be doing. Now, that's what you have to look forward to. So, no. This is going to be more of a conversation show. I look at it like a conversation. I'm a lot who was that? What was his name? No, I don't. Garth. You don't have to have it. But Garth Brooks. He's I'm a lot like him. Oh, I want it to be like a conversation.
Like,
you know,
a slick stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess it's official.
Sure.
We're now on Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. Then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense.
Oh, what was it?
She said, think of it more as a conversation.
Oh, that does make a lot of sense. A conversation. Sure, conversation. It does change. When you think about it like a conversation.
But he's right.
It does, yeah. It makes it does. It really does seem like a conversation.
He's really well spoken.
Yes, yeah, you know what, John? I got to be honest with you. I never realized how well spoken you were.
Have you been taking those enunciation classes with Tom Martin down there at the UCLA Extension?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sounds like it.
Well, your diction is perfect, and it's very. It goes with your name, John Brand Wagner.
John Brand Wagner.
Yeah, there you go. So, okay, so, but I think we just open. We treat this, you know, like a big deal. Hey, which is your favorite opening? Be honest. There's the old one where I played, Vacation.
Uh-huh.
What was that? Vacation.
Right.
Notoriously. And then I would drop in the drops from like Jimmy Kimmel, Ben, you know, from anybody that I could get to leave a message for me. And it was Jimmy Kimmel eventually giving me the long intro, and I would play the Vacation theme over it, whatever that is. And I would drop in different drops. Then it became, there's so many. This one here, play this one. Now this is I think my favorite.
I can't get enough of this pie.
Now, this goes back to my original question. And be honest with me, for the first time level.
So are we going
to
go around and tell you what our favorite one is?
Oh, do you want to? Yeah, do you have a favorite one?
Well, I think we should hear them all.
Hear them
and
all.
And then we'll go around and decide.
Okay,
which ones
how many can we get right now? There's this one. Can I tell you, there's a barn and a podcast. Between that, this, and that... That new Once Upon a Time, there was a podcast, that new one he just did. And my only other one that I like, but I don't like, look, he doesn't listen to the show. I love his jingles, but most of Joe's end up being my favorite, obviously. But Havana Gila, sometimes I can be in the mood for. It's just funny how he jams all those words into there.
Did Glenn Shore do an opening?
For this show?
Yeah.
No. Nobody did an opening.
Just Joe?
Well... Nobody did no opening for this show.
No. The Todd Glass show.
Oh.
Throughout the years. Is
Lynn, yeah, Lynn's done them, but never really like Joe, where, you know, Lynn will do, he had, no, not really an opening.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not really an opening. Where you talk throughout the whole show.
That's why he was fired.
That's why Lynn was fired. I'm going to keep it over here now. All right, so we're having a good time, and I have to remember that. I find this oddly relaxing, and people say, Todd, if you're having a good time, we're having a good time. But I want to, how are you? Mm-hmm. Right. Right. How are you? How are you? Oh, you're fine. I just want to make, people that are listening, I rewatched the documentary, Earbuds. It re-reminded, Eric watched it too. People have it right in their ears. You know, you can make someone feel real nice if you choose, right? You're beautiful, right? Some people say, my favorite thing is, well, he's not really talking to me. Yes, I am. How dare you? How about I come over there and I punch you in your face? You can talk to more than one person, right? You're the only one sitting in that chair of yours.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Right.
I know. That's weird, isn't it? How do I know?
I didn't know I was in a chair. I'm sitting
in
a chair.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about...
How would he know that? I don't understand.
I was like, I don't know how you can talk to everybody.
Is there a camera on you? How would he know that?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Almost impossible.
2R, 2L.
So what are we talking about?
What are favorite intros?
Oh, yeah, so is it too hard to start getting them all? And by the way, would this be the episode to do it? Because we're going to have to listen to them through the boombox. Like, if we're going to really go heavy.
If there's any episode to do it, it's the one where we have the case of bass.
The case of bass. Okay, so let's play. We only have two.
Wow.
I know. It's all right.
Well, we could still.
Let's pick between these two. Let's pick between these two.
Okay.
Do you have the new one last week about once he did the Monty Python song? We closed the show with it last week. So let's play this one here.
Okay.
Then the one you played. Which ones do we have?
I believe it's the one with the.
I got it.
Which ones?
I believe I have the one about the
Okay, so here's what I believe. Let me try to be a professional here. I know you have. It's a you have. It's a barn. In the barn, it's a polka.
I believe I do.
Okay, you played it last week.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you have that one, and then you have this one. I can't get enough of this podcast. And then you have the one from we closed the show with last week. So let's play all those three and just pick from there. Hava Nagila, we know what it sounds like. What if he's listening?
That's how much. Did you say the one Holiday Roads?
Yeah, that I can't do. But everyone remembers that.
Can I still vote on that one?
Yes, you can. That's okay. The only one we're not going to play that you can vote on. And that's when we played Holiday Road. And then we had all the drops differently. And we could one night drop in this. We could add to Doug Benson or not add Doug Benson. We had a clip on there of David Feldman every week. And he would go, this is David Feldman. I'm Jewish. And we would drop that in for no reason. So, okay, so let's play this one. By the way, again, I realize, odd for me to sit and tap along to songs about the show. It's the Todd Glass Show, and then I'm doing it. But you know what? It's fun.
Yes.
And if people can admit that whatever they are in their life, if they can be honest with who they are, whether it be gay, whether it be if you're transgender, and admit who you really are, no matter what it be, then I can admit I'm a guy that likes to dance around and snap to my own jingles. Now, if that makes me a bad person.
No, it doesn't.
Because I have so much fun.
And how could you be in touch with your listeners if you're not listening to the same podcast they are?
Right. And by the way, I do listen to the podcast. You know what? I'm serious. I do listen to it because there's guests and I hear things I don't hear. I never in the history of doing my stand-up act, and I'm not proud of it because when I listen to the podcast, I think it helps me do a better job. Relax. Take it easy. Calm down. Stop hurrying. But I don't listen to my stand-up, but the podcast I do listen to, and I laugh a lot. I do, because it makes me laugh. Things I heard and I laugh at again,
Does
or things I didn't hear.
The way you do things?
I always think, I never think, oh, I should have done that shorter. I always think, no, you were in a hurry. I always realize when I listen to it, if John can't find something on the soundboard, we're in three times the rush. Usually, if it takes them 60 seconds, usually it's 25, but max, like when you start thinking, I know how you feel it, 60 seconds, you're like, oh my God, that's nothing. Just no one's in a rush but you. I try to remember that. To tell you the truth, I should frame it and put it up on the wall. By the way, how's Aristotle know when just to drop that in? He just... It makes me... Aristotle... Okay. It's so unlike him. That's so unlike him. Good. I think that's what makes it so funny. All right.
I was going to say, though, going back to that, don't you think you would benefit from listening to your stand-up?
Of course I would. You know how I know? When I went on the road with Daniel Kino to get ready for my hour special, and we would watch the show the next day in the hotel room. And I thought, you know what? Be realistic. It helps immensely. Learn jokes, why even mistakes or why. But I said, be realistic. You're not going to go back. And we were doing it every single day for the show we did the night before. We had notes all over the hotel room. And I learned so much. Mostly what was great is re-chunking things. I never thought that's what we were going to be working on. It just happened. He goes, why are you doing this over there? And when bits became chunks, like there were six things within them one category, I remembered them a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time, I had every joke in my head. Maybe 20 or 30% of them were chunked, but everything else was just jokes. And every night I was trying to put them together. So we just chunking it up. I went, oh my God, those six jokes all flow together. They're all about this. You learn you got five jokes about fucking a dog. You go, ooh, how many times do I joke about
now,
fucking a
dog? How many fucking the dog jokes are too many?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
Let's find out.
Here's the thing. Someone might go, some of them aren't really fucking dogs jokes, but it is a ridiculous thing. I think what you either do is you acknowledge it and you make a joke about it. That's how I would do it. I go, look, I got six fucking the dog jokes, and I thought about taking some of them out of the act, and I thought it's not fair to you people. And I'll tell you all of them. And if you want, if there's three you like the best, I'll keep them in. The other two I'm getting rid of. And you just
this goes in my dog fucking chunk.
You brought it up the other night. One is this, that, can we go through them before we do the jingles?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's absurd that we're having this conversation, but due to George Carlin. All right, come on. To George Carlin, it's true. You know, you can find, oh yeah, I make that, or I use that. You know, cat shit. You use that three times and, oh, I use that three times. I say it there. Then I say, Kmart smells like cat shit. And I learned that. I'm like, oh, you know, little things. Doesn't have to be major. But, what?
You said we talked about this.
We talked about the cat, you talked about how many jokes I had about the fucking a dog.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Remember when you guys came home, you were like, remember how many jokes I had? One was.
Oh, I was saying that I think that second audience. We're convinced that you fucked dogs.
And I think he's totally wrong. I think they're going to know. Because the one joke is this. I go, you know, you can get the genital herpes anyway. I understand it was what you thought because of the collective amount. It wouldn't be any...
Not because during the setups, you got distracted and you never really went back to it.
Yeah.
And so twice you set up fucking a dog, but then you never went back to it.
Right. By the way... We should get, to George Carlin, oh, here's why I love that word. We can get some finality and maybe an answer to this. Doesn't have to be an opinion. Let's do the research it takes to find out if anybody thought that. Because I'm going out on a limb, and everybody it was there, if you ask them later. Go. You're all kidding aside, like, did you really think anybody thought that? They're all going to go, no. They're all going to go, no. So I think it's something we could decide now, but who was there? Steve Fine Arts.
Steve Fine Arts, were you there?
Steve Fine Arts, there was somebody
Duncan.
Else. Yeah. And by the way, you know why this is a fun? This is like to me talking about, it's just fun because, hell, I should know either way. So it's so stupid. But I think it's just a fun little, it's like sports. You're gambling on, it's not that intense. Like I'm like, but I want to find out because I don't know why. My gut feeling is even if I was sloppy, you earn the right as somewhat of a civil person up there that they go, I don't know, he might have got, they might not know what happened because you do. You see why the missing link was there. They would just go, he probably just got lost. He's being an absurdist. I don't think any of them. But you, now, I love this because you think someone's going to go, no, to be honest, I think some people thought Todd one of the fuck dogs up their ass.
Well, no, I don't think that they sat there and thought about that. I think.
Oh, I knew.
I think briefly, like.
Well, that
I think they'd probably look at each other and go, did he just say he fucked a dog? Well, and then it would be over. They don't go home and go, God damn,
okay,
it's
okay.
Class fucks dogs.
Right. Well, guess what? I got y'all. I fucked dogs.
I knew it.
That's right. And that's a segment on the show. Na 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 na. Okay. Wow, this is a fun show. So let's go back to this. That's a weird topic. It's funny how things you start talking about. Who would have thought when we sat down we were going to spend... We should think of the other jokes. So then there's the other joke where I go, you should... I go, you know, you should masturbate your dog. You take it out of civilization.
Right.
You take it out of civilization. It can't do that. If you,
don't bring other dogs around for it to...
If I found out that someone was masturbating their dog or whatever you want to say, bringing it to pleasure, I would. I would have to be honest. My thought would be, there's something wrong there. And there probably something is. But yet, it's the opposite, really. It's the most selfish thing you could do to an animal that you that genuinely brings you joy into your life. And the one thing that brings its joy, you've cut it off from. So, there we go. And there were a few others. But anyway, so I do listen to the podcast. So it ends up that you're saying, well, then we have to be able to hear it. If we can't enjoy these jingles, then how do we expect people? We're doing this. Tell me if I understand you correctly. We owe it to the audience. Hey, if you're going to play them, listen to them.
Oh, of course. Let's do it.
It's the Todd Glass Show, everybody.
I can't get enough of this podcast.
That's right.
The Todd Glass Show. Baby, don't you know the producer sits behind glass?
Todd Glass Show.
Todd, 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 Todd.
Todd, 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 Todd. Falls asleep. Nick Leepa falls asleep.
Jingles for our boss, Chris Hardwick.
Asshole, boo.
Todd, Todd, Todd.
Todd, 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 Todd.
Todd Glass Show.
Todd Glass Show.
With producer Aristotle.
With producer Aristotle.
Eric Olson.
Eric Olson.
John Brand Wagner.
John Brand Wagner.
Todd Glass Show.
Simon is here. Aaron Simon. Okay, so there's that. How do you think this is sounding?
Good.
Okay. You're looking at it like it's...
Well,
we were peeking there for a second. Okay, that's good to know. Now we know a little bit lower than that. As soon as I put the ratchet near it, I knew. I saw the look. I thought, I knew. Put the ratchet like back here because it's probably... If my voice is getting... Okay, I got it. What's up, dimple shit? Hey, I'll tell you what. You like doing this and then getting that? Do you? Do you like saying stuff and then getting that?
Oh, boy, who doesn't like saying something and getting this?
I'll tell you what, I like saying stuff and getting that.
Sometimes I like saying stuff right to this.
Yeah. Hey, is it so bad if after I talk this happens? Hey, I have a good life, you know? I'll tell you, my wife, she's not too smart. She thought 1 + 1 = 4. Okay.
She's not smart at all.
Thank you. How you doing, Aaron?
Not bad.
Who said pick up the mic? The mic is only for the bit. Now I want to talk to the real Aaron Simon.
What do you want to know?
When are you going to... Do you want to talk about being afraid to go up on stage?
Sure.
Because I think it's interesting conversation. First of all, you're not the only one. And a lot of comedians that go on to do comedy their whole lives tell a story about that. Some don't, but many do. They had a little start. They go, up front I used to get... But then eventually you have to get over it. Maybe this is a... Have you ever had that?
We're actually talking about this.
No, you can... I'd rather break the bit and let you talk for a
minute. Thank you.
Thank you. I knew it that it was fake. I knew it.
I have fun, guys.
You can come up. You can pull in and talk to us.
Aaron and I were just talking about this the other day. I do remember being the guy up next and just being a bundle of nerves. But yeah, first off, like as soon as you get on stage, it's like a roller coaster ride. You just go through it. So it's all the worst part is waiting to go up.
Right. I still feel that
way.
Mm-hmm. But here's what I was going to say, and I really do mean this. Like you want to motivate somebody. Sometimes you can have tough love to motivate somebody, but you also have to, I think. This would be a weird motivator for you, but I think it might be. Because I was saying this when you were talking to me the other day about, you go and you don't go on. And by the way, I did it a little bit up front. Oh, well, I did it like twice. I did it twice. And then that's not always. You know what I did it with? Mm-hmm. I did it with auditions. See, it's so funny. You talk about, it's my whole thing about you could sit across from someone that eats 100 jelly beans a day and go, I just don't get it. But you eat 100 Tic Tacs a day. And you don't think to go, yeah, they're just different things. But yeah, so that's where I could pull from a little better. I used to go to auditions and leave. I just was petrified for commercial auditions or acting auditions. And I remember one time my friend goes, Todd, if you leave right now, it's just the easy thing to do. And I said, you're right. And I left. It's not what his plan was. He was trying to motivate me to stay. But I got so nervous that I just didn't want to go. And one time my manager called me and he goes, you got a call back. I didn't go in on the audition. I'm like, is he testing me to see? Like, I'm playing Russian roulette here, if whatever it is. Or, what's that game where, you keep going. I'm not giving up. I go, oh, cool. When is it? And he told me, and I'm like, okay.
Great, I'll be there.
Great, I'll go. And then my tone changed about a minute into the call when I went, oh, he's not trying to cap. I just thought, they see a lot of people. They forgot they didn't see me, and I got thrown into a...
That's true.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Did you go to the callback?
I went to the callback, and then I got the commercial. It was a Chevy commercial.
Is that true?
That's a true story to George Carlin.
You didn't go to the audition.
I didn't go to the audition.
You somehow got a callback. You went to the callback and got the fucking job.
And got the job. Wow. And I didn't do that many commercials. That was one of the commercials that I did. They're so hard to do. They make, if they see you make a face a certain way, if your nose twitches, they try to get...
Line?
It wasn't the line. I learned how to do drop of expression, so I would get a few commercials because of that. I would be like, the Chevy, blah, blah, blah. And then I would see the price and I go, the Chevy, blah, blah, blah. And just, up and down from happy to sad. But anyway, and then Chris somehow... got on the commercial. He's just hanging out all day. And next thing I know, she's like, okay, you can go over there.
I'm like, he didn't even go to a callback.
And I have the ad. We can watch it after the show's over.
Amazing.
The Chevy, yeah. So anyway, but anyway, that wasn't the point of the story, that I had walked out. But here's what I'm going to say. I must not want to act that bad. And this, if you have acting in you, maybe you'll get it. It's a little bit, maybe putting a torch under you a little bit, but I think in a good way. Doing stand-up comedy is like... like almost like having sex. Like, I think if you like sex, if you like it, it's okay. You're probably not going to have a lot of it because you have to crave it to get over the embarrassment of the act of sex. I mean, think about it. The reason you're not, most people don't think about it like that because, first of all, it's what it must feel like to have sex with the person you don't want to have sex with. And I'm just talking about if it's a straight person trying to act, a gay person trying to act straight. Either way, girl, 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 guy, but if someone having sex with someone they're not attracted to, that's probably, that's hard because it's like, that's like just, so if you're a person and you go, no, sex is all right, you're probably not going to have a lot of it because that's what comedy is probably like. If you're not craving it. So the question is, are you craving it? Because if you're craving it and you should be a stand-up, you'll get over it and get on stage. So it's an indirect way to, maybe it seems like a mean way to like put it, maybe you don't want to do stand-up. Mm-hmm. But that, I hope that motivates you to go, no, I do want to do it. Because you have to ask yourself that, because if you are craving it, like people crave it, like probably John Mulaney or Paul F. Tompkins or any comedian we know that just really loves to do it, you will get over the nervousness of it. Because in a way, I can't fucking believe I did it. Because I don't make speeches. I don't want to. I am petrified to dance at a wedding. I won't. I find old people in their 80s to dance with, or young kids, because they're safe, Let them dance on your shoes. Busy over here.
You let old people dance on your shoes?
No. I let young people, old people, I dance on their shoes. So, thank you very much. God, he went over there. So for Aaron, yeah. You're going to have to ask yourself how bad you want to do it, and maybe that will help you indirectly by...
I used to not go up. I still don't, but I used to.
2R2L. 2R2L. 2R2L followed up with a JL. 2R2L followed up with a JL.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Pause it. Let's see how close we can all get to singing this with him. Okay. And trying our hardest. No microphone. Here we go.
We're trying to sing what?
We're trying to sing right with it to see how close we can get. We'll do it four times and see how good we can get.
Sometimes, I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Do it again. You know what I figured out's better? To let them start the sentence and then come right in. Maybe. Why?
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Aren't I right? Watch it. Do it again. Here we go.
A one and two.
And a one, two, three.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
Do it again. I'm going to sing, but I'm going to come in late like you said. But I'm going to be a little late.
Okay, here we go.
Sometimes I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
Oh, that's the easier way to do it. Play it from the top. Yeah, there we go. Then we could really look like we know what we're doing. Let's try it.
Sometimes I'm
happy.
Sometimes I'm
blue.
My disposition depends on
you.
Nailed it. I thought you were going to do it like this.
Sometimes I'm happy.
Sometimes I'm blue.
Depends on you.
Okay, so I all I can say is, look, the what's on the flip side of doing getting over it is really having a fun life that you can, even if you don't do your stand-up, some it might be where you end up doing stand-up full-time. Some people do stand-up and they're more writers, but they'll go around LA and New York and they'll do spots. That's awesome too. Like that, you know, it showcases yourself as a writer. And some go on to being able to do hour sets and going on the road and headlining. But some, it can serve a purpose at many different levels. And it really, you know, where else can you walk into a room and get five comedians listen to a writing sample of yours? You can't do it any other way. That's why stand-up is such a powerful tool. Because how are you going to get, like, literally, I don't even have to name names, you know, five or six people that all might have shows. And you go, would you do me a favor? I have a writing sample. Could you take 10 minutes to read it? But when you go up and do your act, that's your writing sample. That's how Harris Whittles sort of got in with Sarah Silverman. As that sounds strange to say it that way. You know what I mean. Got observed by Sarah Silverman. Was at the UCB. And I understand that. I remember seeing Harris myself and being like, just very inspiring. You know, I really like this comedy. And Whitmer Thomas, I never cared for. No, I never did. No. I'm not. I was always afraid to say it. But just push yourself a little harder.
Wait,
we'll help you.
Questions about this?
Yes. He gives his dad $50 through Venmo, and if he doesn't go on, he doesn't get it back. So he is trying. That's the only reason I'm giving you the time of day, because I think you are trying yourself. Like, you are frustrated with yourself.
First question is, right. Did you tell your dad you went up when you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about that.
How many times have you gone?
Probably like 9, I think.
Over how long? A year?
6 months to a year.
Yeah, 6 months.
When you first did it, what did you feel? What was that feeling?
He did good. I want to keep, it felt good for like a day.
And then how quickly did you get back up after that?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you didn't do, well, right?
I mean, there was a chunk of time where I was going up like once every couple weekends.
Yeah, I remember because you sent me your tape and you sent me your file from your phone, and it was really good. And I thought, God, you really got over the hardest part. You did it, and it's only.
But I think maybe the longer you go without doing it, especially in the beginning, and especially if the last few sets didn't go well,
right. But I said the chunk to get over, because it really does make life better, was, you know, for a while, if I didn't have a good set, I would go right home. And then the best thing that ever happened was that I went out. Because, no, I wasn't in a great mood right away. I thought about, for a while, going home. You know, I'd go, oh, why am I talking about it? But then, a lot of times, I was having a great time. I go, and the end of the night when I got in bed, went, my set didn't go well, but you had a really fun right. night. And so getting over not having bombing mean your whole night is ruined. Because if it represents the whole night being ruined, get in the car, drive home, and be depressed. I get it. Like, that's fearful. But if you can somehow get past that and understand that also part of growing is hanging out with other comedians after the show. What a great thing to be able to do, to hang out with probably some of the best people in the world, and it helps your comedy. And if you're hanging around with good comedians, you can grow off stage too. It's a bond that you make with other comedians. So you can look at it as, I didn't do well on stage tonight, but if you can sort of go, you know what though, but I did well off stage, just hanging. I don't mean you should go out and do shtick. Everyone knows what I mean. Hang and just having a good time with other comedians, doing bits. Bits lead to, oh, we should shoot that. Half the time it doesn't matter. Once in a while it does lead to, like, you end up doing something with other comedians. So look at that as a lucrative part of the night too.
And if you're looking to go up to the listening audience, Venmo me $50.
There you go. And then Eric could help you out.
Yeah.
Seriously. What were you gonna say?
The nights that I hang out with comedians after the show.
Hold on 1 second, please. 2R2L to the joke about Venmoing Eric $50. Sorry, was not acknowledged. Let the record show that that was a well-placed joke that we did not give its due.
I did stumble over the word
you
Venmo. Did,
you know what?
It's my fault.
2R2L.
Okay, so go ahead. Back to you, what you were saying.
It's just what you said, like hanging out with comedians after a show. That when I...
Put down your whistle and listen.
That's when I feel the best, is when I fucking just like met a new connection of like a really funny person.
Yeah.
That's gonna do way as much as a good set.
No, it will. And once you get to that, and by the way, you have like all these people that, you know, like you know, Jake Adams would always take you, John Brian Wagner would. I think Eric would go with you. I know I won't. But I'm busy. No, I would too. Like if it took you, but I don't think that's what's going to relax you is us going yet. No. But I watch every set you send me. And you, let me tell you something. You did, you know, just seeing someone do it once, you go, oh, okay, they got it. That's not lucking out. That you know how you formed, you had good, you flowed from one thing to another. You were doing a set. Like you did a good job, and yeah, in weeks it's going to go bad. I think the only, because I don't like advice that you can't apply instantly. Other than that, it's bullshit advice. Uh-huh. And I think there is a little truth to trying to, I never said it that way before, look at the rest of the night like that's important too. And just to go out and have fun.
I haven't gone up in a long, long time, but you know what used to help me?
What?
Two beers and a Vicodin.
And that was the name of his first folk band. That's right.
You would drive to an open mic?
No, didn't you hear what I said? That was the name of his first country band.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on
you.
Oh, we're good.
So, we are good, and it was all because of you. So anyway, here's what I'm saying. I want to motivate someone. That would give it a little more motivation if you're scared to go out. Look at it like, you know, like you sort of do with giving your dad $50. If you want to prove to yourself that you want to do stand-up and you have a bad set, your proof that you really want to do it, to go home and still put your head in the pillow in, is that you know that also hanging out afterwards and do it. Force yourself to go out past it and look at it like, no, this is important too. It's not I'm trying to forget about that. That set didn't go well, but something can go well. So by the end of the night, you can put your head in the pillow and go, oh, that, you know, I had a lot of fun hanging out. And that's all it is. Hanging out is very important. And it's fun. That's the great thing about it. Yeah. I'm just trying to tell you something that's fun that you don't do a lot after you didn't have a good set, because you want to have fun after a good set. I get it. But if you can sort of make yourself think, no, that's part of the work too. It just happens to be a fucking blast. It's okay if something that go, it's going to be fun. Going out with other comedians is going to be a blast, and it's also good, then go do it. Okay? What else you want from me? I thought I was very nice to you, and I appreciate my help.
Do you have any rice?
Hey.
Do I have any rice? Don't get me started. How's that girl that we met? What was her name?
Ariel.
Wow, I'd like to. Anyway.
2R, 2E, 2L.
2R, 2L.
All right. How much longer are we going to be picking up our part? Picking about, you know what? It's not really bothering me. Well, I mentioned it. That's, and I feel.
If it's mentionable, it's manageable.
2R2L.
So we have that one, and oh, he makes a, he packs a pipe. And then I tease him, and then he gives it to me. How's everybody at home?
I love you.
I love you. I love the people I met after my shows. Seriously.
I could only imagine hanging out after Largo when you're hanging out with those funny fucks. Jesus Christ.
You know, there's like, you know, I've said it a million times, but, you know, it's nice to be, you can be proud of the people that come out to see you. That's a nice feeling. And I like being proud of people. I see the audiences and I'm proud. They just look like, if anything, like a safe place to be if you were somebody that was not feeling safe. I hope that my audiences would look like, okay, I feel safe here. So, and then you meet, and then I met.
You know what? This should be the year that everybody comes to LA Podfest.
I know. People think about it. I bet it's like my brother's been having a camp. It's going on 6 years, and I've been saying I'm going to go every year. I get it. There's a little more of an expense. I get it to stay at that hotel. But I'll tell you what. It is so much fun.
Because we decided that we're going to stay.
This year, we're going to get, for me, John... I don't know if you'll be here in October. Duncan and I and whoever the band is, whoever wants to, we're going to get like the biggest room they have and just like camp out in the hotel room and then just stay there. No one's driving anywhere. Wake up. We'll make breakfast. We should bring a flat iron into the room and make some breakfast in the morning. No, we won't do that. But
call room service.
We can call room. By the way, once in a while.
I'm happy. Sometimes
I'm sad. My disposition. Depends on you. Wow. So let's play the other song.
If you like podcasts.
No, not this one. The one, the polka. And then.
It's the Todd Glass Show, everybody, taking you through the night. Tonight, live from his living room, it's a special night. It's a dining room.
Only funny people
are in the dining room.
And they do a little show there.
What do you mean little?
It's voted number one.
Yes, it was.
Oh, there's music.
Oh, John's getting out the drumsticks.
Dancing. And a lot of with the bells and whistles. The bubbles, lights, and soap. When they hear Todd Glass do the intro.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Glass.
Ready for the show.
Hello.
They want to hear their favorite guests do the bits they love the best. Then they hear a rumble on the drum. Happy moment finally comes. All the joy the show will bring. For miles around, you'll hear them sing.
La 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 doing loud songs to go back to the show, but it's not very easy. If you just go too abrupt, it's not very good. So we go softer and softer and feather it back. How do you go from that loud? Because let's go back there for a second. It was loud. Oh, oh, oh. No, no. And then we go shh. You take people. It's all right to return them to another state of, put into a state of grace from that, but you got to do it nice and soft. We come in as smooth as we possibly can. Hey, we're just sitting around talking. Well, but that's not much different than something we were doing 5 seconds ago. Just, how's everybody? Does it have any questions for me?
I have so many questions for you, Mr. Glass.
Yes, well, you don't have to call me Mr. Glass, though, by the way. I think we're on a more comfortable... But what questions do you have?
First off, what is your greatest strength?
Honestly?
Yes.
If I had to do an interview now to George Carlin, do you want to hear what I would say honestly, or is that going to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I couldn't.
Where would you find yourself?
I didn't bait you. I had 2 seconds to think about where I was going to start, and it's nauseous.
No, we can continue to stop.
Well, no, it's going to come off.
Don't think of something now.
No, I have something. I have something. But you have to talk about your great strengths in front of somebody. It's not very humble.
Well, then you have to unhumble it.
I'll try it.
Well.
Is that a word? Unhumble?
non-humble brag?
Okay, so I would say this. I would go, you know, hopefully some of those places on my resume spoke for themselves. I know that you called them, and I know what I did there, and I hope I'm right, unless I'm crazy. But I think you probably heard I follow through. And you know what? If I don't know something, I'll learn it. I will learn it. I will ask questions. I used to not do that. I used to just try to act like I was doing it. I realized if you ask questions, they don't annoy people. Yeah. They let you be the one that figures out how to do it. So I ask questions, and I'm a perfectionist. It's attention to detail. It doesn't matter what it is. I could do any job great because I have attention to detail. This just happens to be something I'm interested in. But I truly believe I could probably go to anything I wanted to do and do very, very well because I understand that it's not one big thing that makes things go well. It's 80 little things. And I think I'll attend to that. What the fuck do you want from me? Thank you. I bring my friend with a sly whistle. My greatest weakness? Oh, by the way, I did think you asked the same question again. My greatest weakness?
Uh-huh.
That's a hard question.
When people fucking flip this one and they go, well, my greatest weakness is I pay too much attention to detail.
I'll tell you, first of all, I hope you respect this answer, and I think you might not, and I hope you do. It's just a throwaway question because how honest are you going to be? You know?
I'll tell you, I had an
interview. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say.
A long time ago, I had an interview with a fast food place, and the guy goes, well, where do you see yourself with us in 5 years? And I said, honestly, I hope I'm not working here in 5 years.
Right.
Working here in 5 years, something went wrong.
But you're not going to get that job if you say that.
He said, I appreciate your honesty, and I got the job. And because I was a veteran, he gave me more money than the manager was getting.
Can I tell you a story that's sort of like yours?
Yeah.
I used to always get a hot cup of tea. I get it at McDonald's. That's back when it was the scalding hot tea. They had them lower the temperature of all their water. And you were just talking about, what were you talking about?
I was saying, you asked if you could be too honest in an interview.
Yeah, and you said,
he asked me where I see myself in 5 years, and I said, with the company, and I said, I don't.
I don't want to work here. I just forgot. At least I admit it. Well, I forgot where I was at. Isn't it a blessing that I can be honest about that? In the old days, I'd have to try to go, oh, everybody help me remember. It doesn't matter. What am I holding on to? What did I have, a real gem? We're going to take 30 minutes for me to figure out, oh, I had a joke about a pencil. So we'll move forward.
Can you ask me the questions?
Oh, you want to ask the questions? Oh, sure. How do you think I did, by the way? Oh, can I re-answer just the last part?
You're hired.
The last part? Can I answer that one more time? I really tried, by the way. How do you think I did? Be honest.
I forgot what you said.
Well, that's not good. Do you remember what I said?
You said that you hope that the...
About your honest weakness?
No, about why... They asked me why I think I would be good at working here. And
You said your past like employments will hopefully speak for themselves.
I don't think it stands. How do you think I did? You're just repeating what I said, but that means no one really listened.
Oh, how you did?
Yeah, how I
You're
did.
You're hired. You got $25,000
a year. Hey, $25,000?
Well, it's just Taco Bell.
Well, I'll take it, but can I steal? That's my weakness. Oops, it came out quicker than I thought.
I'll probably have you come for a callback.
Thank you. And you know what? I don't want your job. Because people that know I'm good, they don't have to have a callback. So I would decline on your call.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Then how did you get that Chevy commercial?
Well, that's all. Eric got a zinger. That's what Rickles used to do in Johnny. He'd always plot his pen. No, no, no. Dave got a real zinger out on me. Hoped it made him happy. Isn't that funny that he used to do that? He'd lean over to Carson's desk or whoever, you know, Letterman. Letterman really got a punch in. Now it's good to do it to a little guy like me. And if Don ever tried to look at you, don't touch my paper. I don't touch your papers. So anyway, whatever we were talking about was not that important. But so get on stage. Get on stage and do it. Like, just take everything you have in you. Get on stage. Even if you get on stage and do this. If you get on stage and go, look, I promised myself I would get up on stage every week. And even if I was scared, I would at least fucking go up and at least tell everyone I was too scared to go up.
That's
and I'm too scared to go up. If it gets a laugh, you'll end up saying one other thing. And have that thing planned. Maybe have your weren't going to do a set thing planned. And I don't care if everyone, I did it, and I never needed it. But I always thought whenever I got nervous, I would always go, you'll just go up and say, hey, I said, you know, whatever it was, everyone can give it their own spin. But if that's what it takes, do that. Just get up on stage and go, but I said I was going to come down here because I want to do stand-up. And even if I'm too scared to do my set, I'm going to at least show my face. So anyway, instead of doing a shitty show, I'm here. Next week, I'm going to do a set. Good night. They're going to love it. They're going to love it. And it might give you the confidence, which you deserve. I don't care if you hear the idea from me. Anybody who follows through with that deserves it is somewhat of a performance to be able to do that and sell it. And then and you're being true to yourself. You really, I think if you do that, it could be a silly thing to have planned and get you on stage. And so what if you utilize it? Like literally, if you don't go back on, you don't, that's not the purpose to always think, oh, I'll say that, I'll get a laugh, and then I'll end up doing a set. No, some nights, if it means that's all you do is go up there and go good night and you get off, you know what? You'll get such a big laugh, you're going to feel pretty good about getting up on stage. I guarantee you. And it will get a big laugh. I'll tell you why. Those nights always go long. To watch someone do something very funny and very short, everyone's happy. The next comedian's happy. You got one person behind you that's definitely happy. There's nothing like thinking you're waiting. Someone goes, oh, you're next. And you go, the other guy goes, oh, good. I'm old. There's only nothing like finding out there's two in front of you when you thought there was four. So it's just a good thing to do. It's a funny thing. You get a laugh. And, you know, I think it's all right. Matter of fact, I should make a recording right now that I let people bring up on stage and play. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, listen,
hi, everybody. My name is Todd Glass. The reason this person is playing this over the speaker here is because they want to do stand-up comedy, but every fucking week they get too nervous. So I said, at least go up on stage and play this recording that I'm making for you. So tonight, here's what's going on. This person listening, you're listening to right now on stage, wave at everybody, okay, is too scared to perform, but they wanted to at least say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get in front of the audience, and if that's all I did tonight, I fucking at least did that. And then I could know that I'm honest about wanting to pursue stand-up. I at least got to get up on stage. And that's what they did, ladies and gentlemen. And that's all they're going to do tonight. Please give them a nice round of applause.
I pictured...
Thank you. Someone can isolate that and literally use that.
I pictured Aaron holding that his phone up to the microphone to play that.
Yes.
But he was also wearing a mask.
I hope someone utilizes that. So anyway, what's going on?
We're going to ask John an interview question.
Yes. Oh, yes, John, can I interview you?
Please.
Okay, here we go. Are we going this to George Carlin? What? No, say it. Oh, okay. So, but are we doing this? Are you doing it for real? Like, are you going to? Okay. Sorry, I ruined the whole bit. So anyway, hi, nice to meet you, John.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and you can put your shirt on. No, that's fine. But
Chippendales, I wanted to show you what
I have. Well, this is Sears and Roebuck. Oh. I make the whole bit go horrible, I'm sorry. Why do you have to be at Sears and Roebuck? I'm glad you're here.
I'm at Sears.
Okay, I'm glad you're here, nice to meet you. Let me ask you a question right off the bat, because there's two questions I really ask everybody. What do you think one of your strengths is overall? If you had to just rant for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and don't be shy. We'll ask you what you think some of your negatives are, but don't be afraid to be to brag about yourself.
My greatest strength?
If you're being real, and everything you're saying, I will notice once you get hired here. Brag about yourself. Like, you know what your strengths are, and it's okay in this isolated moment to just brag about yourself.
Well, I don't. I hope that the lack of words that I'm about to say doesn't diminish what I'm about to say. But honestly, honesty is my biggest strength, just being how brutally honest I can be about myself and how...
Can I ask you a question? Can you put the 50 mints that you took out of our bowl from the reception room, can you put them out of your pocket?
Of course.
Okay, it's all right. They're falling out all over the floor. Why am I making it so hard? This guy says honesty is his strength, and then he has pockets full of mints he stole from the waiter.
Such an honest guy, I know. If you got me, I'll give them to you.
Okay.
I hope
so honesty is your virtue.
Yes, I'm a very honest man.
And how does that manifest itself in helping me? except for the overall obvious. In which specific ways will that help you? Because honesty is a good thing to have, obviously.
As you being the general manager, you know that maybe employees of yours can maybe not be completely honest to you about how the ins and outs of the workstation is going. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. Hold on. I got to stop you. You got to put your shirt on.
I'm sorry. It's really hot in here.
Well, that's still not what you do during an interview. And you're lucky you're still being interviewed.
My apologies. Thank you so much.
You seem like a nice guy.
Would you like a mint?
Sometimes I'm happy.
Okay, but let me go back to the serious question. Because I don't think I did this bit right. I want to do it the way we intended it. So what do you think your strengths are?
My strength?
Mm-hmm.
Honesty.
And what... I'm really trying to do this to George Carlin, like if I was really hiring you. I was really trying to like think of like honesty is good, but I need more, and that's what I was trying to get out. Like honesty, like if you know your craft, then having honesty on top of that, that's what you're looking for.
But can I show you how he wanted this bit to go?
Well, how?
Okay, I'm going to interview you now.
Okay.
What do you think is your greatest strength?
Honesty.
Oh. What do you think is your greatest weakness?
I'm a liar.
That's what...
Sometimes
I'm happy.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on
you. Wow. You know what? That was fun, because is that really what you wanted to happen? Well, then, John, you were the most patient person in the world. How did you sit there? If you would have just told me, I would have, like, I think you tried to whisper it to me, but you waited all that time, and it was, like, all he wanted. Let's do it again.
I thought it'd be funnier after all that.
You know what? Talking about it, this never goes wrong if you're honest. Never goes wrong.
Enjoying it, though, because he kept giving me a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, you kept giving me thumbs up.
Because, like, after all that, and then I would have said liar.
So that you knew that eventually if I would ask you, see, so maybe Eric ruined it.
Aww.
Well, sometimes I'm happy. Let's do the whole thing. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Watch, let's try it again. If we wait till the second we hear them say the syllable and then we come in hard, look how clean it sounds. Let's give it a shot. Here we go. You wait. And you come in half a second after them. Sounds clean. Watch.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue.
I know, I went. I didn't want to be off at all. Watch.
Sometimes I'm happy.
What type of show is this?
Blue.
Do we have... You know what I really wanted to do? Can you pull up Mr. Rogers? It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Is that what it was I was singing the other day? It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You know it inside. And when you wake up, happy to say. I think we had that. And I want to try to sing it. I'm going to try to sing it. I was doing all right. Well...
Have you been taking lessons?
I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not gonna. Okay, so I need to look at the screen if we're going to do it.
The karaoke version.
The karaoke version. Remember what we said, no one's in a hurry but us. How you doing at home? You good in Toronto?
How did you know?
Because I know people in Toronto. They've sent me some nice emails. And I want to send the love right back at. I want to send so much love back at them, they eventually feel uncomfortable. And I'm going to... Wouldn't it be great to go walk up and down the block in front of... Find out where they live and walk up and down in front of their block to where they... Okay, that's a little weird. Todd Glass is walking up and down in front of our house. But now that they know that I'm going to do it, it wouldn't be spooky because they know it's
Toronto?
A bit.
What
anywhere. Pick anybody. Sure, Toronto.
Can we talk about this, that we have a lot of listeners in Australia?
That's right. And guess what? That's why we're going there on Monday. I would love to go to Australia. If I knew we could go do a podcast.
There's got
to
be a way we could take the podcast to Australia.
Someone in Australia, book us.
Well, doesn't someone own a hotel that's rich? Put us all up. We'll come out. I'll buy. We'll get the air.
What's that like? Place that's really famous?
Doesn't even have to be Australia.
You know what? I could go to New Jersey. You know what? We're so easy go. We're like, it doesn't even have to be Australia. You know what?
A nice hotel.
Bucks County's nice. Give us cash. Yeah, give us cash. We'll come up the street. We'll do it at show at your house. I always said for $5,000 I would go to someone's house and do it. That was the fee for doing the podcast.
For less, right?
Probably have to be about $5,000 to go to somebody's house. Now, if they lived in LA,
for $5,000, what do they get?
We go. We do the whole podcast there, and we sleep over.
Yeah,
all of us.
Well, whoever they want to pay to bring it would have to at least be three of the people. I always think
$5,000. What do you get for $5,000?
$5,000. Well, it depends where it's at, because you have to take airfare. And, well, I'm saying if it was in San Diego, let's say, and somebody, because I'm looking at, like, I would do a regular job, like if I did a stand-up job, and it could make more, it could make less. But, yeah, if someone offered me $5,000 to do a college show, I would take it. There's some comedians that would say no to it, but I would take it. I'd take $3,000. No, if you have $1,000, I'll do it. No, but $500, but it's got to be, like, really close. Now, give me $50. No, how much do I have to pay to get on your open mic night? No, it keeps going lower and lower. That's a joke. So, but yeah, I would have to just take it into consideration where it was. But, you know, of course, if it's in a cool place you want to go to anyway, you know, the math is different how you look at it because, yeah, if it was in New York City and so there was some place that wanted us to do it, I'd go for air and hotel and if that's all covered because, yeah, that's a trip to New York City. So it depends where it's at. But I never acted like I would totally do it. I think it would be fun to do.
We're taking the show on the road.
Yeah. I'll do it from somebody's basement. We'll make it look really cool. They can invite anybody they want. Probably be fun. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't because then they'd have to invite non-podcast people. That's why you don't want it at someone's house. Because that's the nice thing when everybody comes that listens to it together. So forget it that way. But I would still do it from your house live. We just wouldn't have an audience. Maybe 10 of your friends. That's it. But not like 30, 40 people. So back to what I said from the beginning. Was that boring, everything I just said?
No.
No, that was awesome.
Well, thank you. Are you sure this is karaoke? Is it going to turn colors?
No. Wow. It's all right.
It's all right. We got nowhere to go.
Find out what we can get for $6,000.
2R, 2L?
6,000, you get Johnny Colorado. No, for 7,000, seriously, everything is available. Like, I wish someone had the money. Like, you know, maybe someone happens to be just wealthy to listen to the show. Let me bring a band, you know, and do it upright.
And you should also throw a party after the show for them.
Of course.
Set it up.
Well, I have some definite ideas. Right. Yeah, as long as it's karaoke. Let me see. Push that thing around here. Yeah, there you go. That's it.
So, but it would be fun either way, right?
Well, I don't know. I want to sing it.
Sing it, whether it's the right.
What? Well, we can listen to it. What's happening now, folks? Is we're. I don't think it's the same one, but if it is,
do it.
I think it's sick.
Hey, Aaron, how old are you?
20.
That's right. It's a young show. Fuck faces. To George Carlin, you're 20?
Yeah.
No, we're not. No one's going to commit, and it's not going to sound good, because we're all going to go. Everyone's afraid, because we don't know the song. It's not going to sound too great. I don't know that song.
Oh, but I thought that would be the fun of it. Since...
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what it was? I'm so excited to sing the other song.
No, it's a great song. Have you guys found the karaoke before?
Yeah.
No, now I feel bad.
Uh-oh.
Bless you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
No, I don't feel bad. Feel bad. Why do I have to feel bad? Whatever
you
I...
should.
What did I... What, why would I feel bad?
You're
be
making
honest.
John work so hard. Look at him over there sweating.
Is everyone having fun?
Yeah. Sick tits.
That's right.
Are you having fun, Mr. Glass?
Yeah, some guy when I was in Canada asked me if I liked Donald Trump.
And?
He worked at a convenience store. He was adorable. He was an older guy. He goes, yeah, he knew where I was from because I had American money. He goes, you like Donald Trump? I said, no. I go, it's an embarrassment.
What did he say?
And he laughed. And I went, but you shouldn't ask people that because if they do, they're... You're,
people, you don't want to talk to them.
You know, why do you want to engage with it? You would just be... I mean, it would be... Being rude to somebody.
I couldn't find
He just
it.
Lucked out, but you can't say that. I mean, even though I don't like Donald Trump, I don't think someone should be pestering you in the store. Like if somebody said to me, did you vote for Bernie Sanders?
Yeah. That's
I'd be like, oh my God.
That's like maybe the 30th question you can ask me after. Mm-hmm. Hello, what's your name?
Right. How's your sister?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it, but do you want to listen to this guy sing?
No, I want to do it. There's one on there. I know there's karaoke. It's such a good feeling. Karaoke. Well, we could listen to him first. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? You
got that
turned down?
Yes, hold on. Here we go.
Such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside. And when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, the feeling inside. It's such a happy feeling to know you're alive and to know that I'll be back. And you will too.
Wow, he was in like a horse, this guy, right?
He was in a horse.
Was he on a horse, I mean? He looked like he was riding a horse. Is that it? Hey, look, remember I said no one's in a hurry but us. I hope that sounded all right in post. Coming over. Here we go. Do we got it? I'm not giving up. This is going to be the one night where we get, because I know it's there, and we're in no hurry. Like, even if this isn't it, even if this isn't it, we could still find the one that is it.
There's a karaoke, it won't you be my neighbor.
No, I can't hear. It's such a good, what was the one I was singing? It was such a good feeling to know you're alive. No, it wasn't. It was, it's a beautiful, no. What was it?
Yeah, it was
I have it on my phone. Hold on. What I sound like. Hold on. Hold on. By the way, do you remember this?
Oh, there's Kenny Rogers. Will that do?
Hold on. You remember this?
Todd Glass used to have a Roomba. He could use a brand new Roomba. He's spending his time with an old-fashioned vacuum. Let's get Todd a Christmas Roomba. When he vacuums, he's a-wishing for time with friends that he's a-missing. While doing a job that should be done by a mod, let's get Todd a Christmas Roomba.
And guess what?
Now we need a summer Roomba.
The people at Roomba, not only did they send it, but they send it in the coolest way in the world. Your wildest dreams have come true. On Christmas Eve, a card shows up at the house.
What?
Yeah, so now I'm just having, it's great, but like anything, something goes, you know, there's something happened, something got caught in a wheel, I'm having difficulty with it. So I was just sending some love their way for one of their representatives to call me and try to help me out. I'm sure there's something we can do, but it's probably simple. I just don't know where to start. Is there places that just repair Roombas? Bum, bum, bum. Who knows, right? So we have one more jingle to play before we all make our decision, except for the Holiday Road.
Now, can I ask why we won't be hearing Holiday Road? Because
no, it's everyone's voting. There. Everyone's going to vote. Oh, because yes, it's not loaded. It's not loaded. And it's a lot of to get. It's a lot to get. To make it, to if I'm going to do it for you, I want to do it right. It seems like a line, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's not.
But if I talk slowly,
no.
I might sell enough that John can find
it. No. John, you don't want that. Do you want that? Why am I? Yeah, I shouldn't lead the witness. Do you want the responsibility to go find all those? Because if you do, if you go, oh, it's not that hard. See, I'm doing it, selling it good. I don't care.
I can't find.
So I'm so tired of this.
Right.
No, it's not. John, look at John. He's crying now.
John, it's okay. You know what? I didn't.
I love you. 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 I love. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love. I love you. 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 No, no, no. How come you weren't singing?
Oh.
How about Steve Fine Arts?
I love Steve
Fine Arts. I love Steve Fine Arts. I love Steve Fine Arts. I love... Guess what we're doing on the show from now on? We're not saying, when we leave, I love you. We're saying, like, when John says goodbye or Simon. John's very verbally affectionate that way, and it makes me want to be more not shut down. I love you sometimes is a hard one. Even though in other ways I think I'm pretty good. So now we just decided to change it to I love Steve Fine Arts.
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 Hey, what's not to like?
I love Steve Fine Arts. So that's what we're going to do for real. I wish someone did that for about me. I'd be so happy. So he should be very happy when he hears the news.
2R, 2L.
So the last song, so the, is...
It's the Bright Side?
It's the Bright Side. This makes it in, even though it's...
Podcasts, you should listen to Todd Glass.
Did you hear this one?
His loving show will never cause you harm. So hurry up, don't dawdle. Be cool like Aristotle. And listen to the bits out in the bar. The Todd Glass Show. Sure that everything we do is pro.
Go.
We're voted number one by the podcast
association.
So let's all listen to the Todd Glass Show. The Todd Glass Show on Fridays at night. The Todd Glass Show on Fridays at night.
I don't think we should pick. They're all great.
The first one was.
The first one was.
Don't you just know it?
All right. Todd, 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 Eric Olson.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Next one was. There's a barn, and there's a people, ball. And a lot of funny people. And then there's that one. I'm not picking after all that because they're all great.
They are.
They're all great. There's not. The only one that he did that we got into a fight over here.
Fight.
Yeah, remember the one Joe sent? We thought he didn't like the show anymore. His wife was mad. Yeah. We thought he sent us one. It ends up, I don't want to say which one it was. If you hear an egregious glitch in this podcast, you know we took... Florida was where we went to the Florida... We went to the Florida Disney World.
Oh, yeah, right.
Florida Disney World when we were like about... I was 10 years old. That's the first time
we went to... Did they have Harry Potter World yet?
No.
Yeah, that all makes sense now.
Right.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
They made an egregious edit. They're doing it behind my back. If you hear another one, you know something's weird. So I watched Casper when I was young. I always remember there was a comedian. People were like, wait, are they editing it? There was a comedian. His name was Fred Novak. And he had a one-liner. He used to come up on stage, socially awkward, probably a little genuinely socially awkward. Maybe would play it up on stage a little bit. His name was Fred Novak, and he would go, Casper, what's so funny about a dead kid? I mean, it's so... What's so funny about a dead kid?
How did he die?
I don't know. Why? What makes you... You don't know who that is, do you?
No, I meant Casper.
Oh. Casper died. He got run over by a SEPTA bus.
Oh, is that true?
Sure. The Friday podcast starts at 9. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. How long have we been going?
Pneumonia.
Yeah, he died from pneumonia.
Who?
Casper. That's how old was he?
That's weird.
12-year-old boy living in Wistaff Manor.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well,
he was a friendly ghost. Maybe it made people, you know what? Maybe it was a good way to make people not scared to death. Maybe it was more productive than we thought it was. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. How long have we been going?
Oh, an hour and 15 plus the Fred Stoller.
I know. We got to throw to the show. I really had a good time.
Yeah. This was a cold open to a cold open?
This was throwing to Fred Stoller. Fred is a very unique, very gentle, very interesting, and just... I always try to take him in when he's in there and not try to steer him. Like he's...
Tell you what, his book's really good on Amazon.
Yeah, you know, because you bought it.
I did. It's about him and five other comics in 1980s.
Yeah, it's basically, I think it was around 93, but it was him and five other comedians, and obviously one special hosted by...
89.
Yeah, I think you're right. One special hosted by Dennis Miller. And and then there's five comedians and seeing what happens to all of them. It's a little story. It's like... What's the movie where the ship goes down?
Titanic.
But it's like that. But there's got to be a backstory. Exactly.
Well, I can't talk about it because I'm suing him.
I know. Anyway, what?
Story?
Yeah, we're all suing Fred. As part of the show, we're all going to get together and sue him, just to fuck with him a little. But he was great, so we're going to throw to that. Is there any last minute things anybody wants to talk about? I'm proud of you if you're going through sobriety.
I love Stephen Fine Arts.
I love Stephen Fine Arts. If you're going through sobriety, I'm telling you, I'm going to repeat something I've said because you can never hear this too much, even if there's some people, because you went off the wagon and back on, whatever it is you're trying not to do, that you think gave up on you, they never do. They're afraid to say it outwardly sometimes because, you know, but deep down, people root for you. They always root. Nobody behind your back is rooting against you. Sometimes they get, yes, because you could go off the wagon and you disappoint them, but every time you jump back on, they always root for you, so... And the longer you do it, the more they're like, you know, the fact that you're trying again, I think people give you a lot of credit for it. No, but let this be the time you stop the bullshit. I end it positively. Says I'm not fucking around. You still got to get a grip on it. You still at the end of the day, yeah, it's going to be a fight like you've never fought before. So that's not, you know, oh, I've gotten off 70 times. All right, now you're pushing it. I'm trying to be nice. You get one more chance, then we're sick of it. But I'm proud of you. For anybody, do whatever it is you're trying not to do, and you're doing it, fuck. Bite a fucking piece of leather, but keep doing it. Right? Look at Aaron Simon. His grandmother used to do 8 boxes of crack a day.
Is that true?
Yeah, now she just sniffs matzah farfel.
Todd, that was private.
What?
That was business.
That was private business. And can I tell you something? After I say that your grandmother sniffs matzah farfel, the only thing that should happen is this.
Sometimes I'm happy.
Sometimes I'm blue. Guess what we get to do now? I think it's a fun part of the night. It couldn't be a funner part of the night. Because after this, we're doing some special videos that I don't want to brag, but there's a new segment. It's called, well, you'll see them. They're tweets. And it's Sarah Silverware. And there she's doing these. There, it's just, I don't, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Silverware.
2R, 2L.
Thank you. And there's going to be some fun little videos. Sarah Silverware. Sure, we have a jingle. I don't even want to tell you what it is yet. It's Sarah. Sarah Silverware. Bum, bum, bum. So, it's Sarah Silverware. It's Sarah Silverware. If you're having as much fun as we are, then I think you're in good hands.
Wait, sing that song and then I'll come in.
It's Sarah Silverware. I'm all right with that. It's Sarah Silverware. Silverware. Okay. So everybody, I'm losing my voice. Let me take a drink of wine. My man. Gulp, gulp. Aristotle, we miss you. We love you.
We love you, Aristotle.
Of course we do. Of course, it's not the same without him here. It's not the same. It is not the same. I can tell you that.
We love you, Aristotle. We love you, Aristotle.
It's true. When you're not near me, we're blue. Aristotle, we love you. All right, everybody. Enjoy the Fred Stoller show. Look, here's the bottom line so we don't feel guilty. Maybe I'll have to do an opening to the opening. I'll have to say, remember the one we recorded with the recorder and the dining room table? There's some peaks. There's some times we modulate a little. But I think the sentiment was there that we had a fun night. Maybe I'll be saying that on the opening of this. So I do an opening to the opening to the opening. Wow. And I'm all right with that.
Whoa.
So we don't know how this turned out. We don't know. It could have been... The main thing I'm worried about, did people hear the music? Did you hear us? Who knows what happened? It could have unplugged. Remember that one that we did where it unplugged and we weren't being recorded for 30 minutes?
Oh, that's exactly what happened right now. We didn't hit record.
What?
Yeah.
So here's the fun part of the show then. What do we close with? What do we close with? Anybody have any ideas? It's hard, right?
It is hard.
But I put it in your hands.
Are we closing or going over to Fred Stoller?
We're going over to Fred Stoller. Oh, we could just go over there. We could gently deliver them.
We'll feather it in.
No, shh. We're going so slow. This is us at the dining room table. Aristotle, when I'm telling you, you bring in Fred Stoller so soft. You're taking him from us over here. We're all over here at my house at the dining room. And we're throwing to this show that we did at the barn. It's okay, they're starting to hear Fred's voice. Here comes that show. And we're going out. Eventually it becomes another show.
How the HBO Young Comedian Special changed the lives of 1989's funniest comics. 5 minutes to kill. 5 minutes to kill. Fred Stoller has a new Kindle single out. Why don't you pause this podcast now? Go to Amazon and buy it, and then replay the rest of the podcast.
Let me take a sip of my coffee. So much more relaxed this way. And like we said, I will turn that air conditioning off in about 15 minutes. You okay?
I'm groovy, baby.
Can I take a hit of pot?
Sure.
You might want, yeah. I was going to say, add a little bit more.
Where do you live?
I live right by the Grove. That's why I'm always walking there. I haven't seen
you
in a while. I drove at the...
You drove?
Yeah, I didn't walk.
I took for granted you didn't drive.
I know people, think I'm Norm or or mentally challenged, you know. People, I can't put you driving. Like, how do you...
Do you live on your own?
I do.
So what about
that's so nice.
Someone brings them to you? Or?
Oh, no, I can't boil water. I won't go that far to say I can function.
You have one thing that you can cook if you had to, like...
Ah... Well, you know, I lie. People go, you must cook sometime. I go, oh, yeah, I do. Because I could reheat stuff from Trader Joe's microwave. That's about it.
Oh, you do cook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I think we're good. Aristotle, are you recording? Oh, you are recording. Look at that. Wow. Always nice to get a cold opening when we didn't even know we had it. That's called a cold opening.
It was cheating because I kind of was hoping it was being recorded because it was so good. And
with Rodney?
No. Rodney once saw me at the comic strip in Fort Lauderdale. Goes, you take too many liberties, okay? You know. And Eddie Murphy, right before Saturday Night Live, he goes, you're going to go nowhere with that stuff you do, the inner stuff, he said.
Who said that?
Rodney right before Eddie Murphy got Saturday Night Live, I was there with Rob Bartlett, Eddie Murphy in the Fort Lauderdale comic strip. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go there?
Yes, I did.
And it was...
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I heard about the comic strip. I thought, wow, that sounds like a place I want to go.
I saw an interview once with Chris Rock, and he said that Eddie Murphy always asks about you.
Because that was like his last job before he became a superstar. So that was his touch with schmucks that didn't make it. Whatever happened to Fred Stoller, he always says. What is he doing? Because, yeah, we did some jobs, and Norm goofs on me.
Norm McDonald?
Yes. And also abuses. No. And
Norm thinks you're funny. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that later. I was sort of opening for him.
All right, we got nothing but time today. I'm going to ask you so many questions. This is a cold opening. This is a very relaxed show because, I don't know, it just has a different feel. It's like a...
No notes. I have no notes flying without a net.
By the way, I have a few post-its, but I very rarely... I'm glad. Do you say you have no notes or did you notice?
Me? I didn't bring my computer to show you what the thing's called or have stories.
I don't have any notes.
Wow.
And I always, 100% of the time, have notes. Now, I do have a few post-its, but I have no... I thought, it's going to be Fred. We're going to talk. It's like an after show. Everyone knows because last week they heard about it. They're like, what's this? It's a little darker.
What does the after show mean?
Sometimes it's like we do a regular show and then we do another show. It's a little darker. It's a little later in the evening.
Is this like 2-in-1 week thing?
I can't talk about this,
because
Fred.
One time I did, what's his name? Jimmy Pardo's. And I was like, you know, kept looking, you know, when's my episode going to be aired? And it's not there. And I said, oh, my God.
What happened?
I said, what did I do that got him mad? I talked about Cato Kaelin.
No, you bet you did nothing.
Best friend. No, it turned out only the good ones are on his regular thing, and the shitty ones you have to pay for. No, it was like the paper one thing. I didn't make it to the regular Jimmy Pardo thing. I got put in the if you give $5.
Oh, that's an honor, though.
It was the paid one.
Yeah, that means it's really
it's
worth
really
it.
Really good.
Well,
yeah.
No, I don't mean well, like I'm disagreeing. But I thought he did every show, Pardo, for every show you could listen for a half an hour, and then after that,
it's part of like called the, yeah, it was called the After Hours. That's why I'm traumatized that's going to happen again. And
no,
I'm
this is
telling
not,
all
tell
the publishers.
Something.
I got a book coming out we'll talk about later, and I said, I'm going on Todd Glass. They said, that's great for comedy nerds. So they were excited. They were really excited.
Listen, so here's what we're going to do, and it's going to be great. We're going to go slow. I'm relaxed. I have no notes. And after show here is all my show. This is episode 301, but I don't talk about the numbers. It's so clinical, but we did 300 last week.
Oh, wow.
And then this is this first celebration of... we celebrated 300 shows last week.
We're in a post-300 episode world now.
Yeah, we're in a post-300 episode world now, so it's a celebration. You're the first one. You're 301.
My God.
Shut the fuck up. Now, how do you want to come in? So it's cold. I'm going to go nice and slow. Eric is here. Aristotle's here. I'm here, Todd Glass. And Duncan Carey is doing the board. Duncan Carey's doing the board because John Brand Wagner had a show tonight, which is awesome. There we go.
Duncan.
That's
on
him.
The Todd Glass Show.
Wow, I like
it's
it.
Duncan.
Wow.
He's on Twitter, you know. At Duncan Carey, spelled with three R's. Just keep Duncan off.
Sure, I feather it into the room. It sounds like the real band's here. So that's not a joke. So before I play the theme to the show, because I think you should hear it.
Yeah.
We have new one. This is a newish one. I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
I think I said it last time. You're great. You've always been nice. Maybe some of our people, they don't listen to every show. I used to take that for granted. I said that last time. There could be someone didn't listen last time.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time
because
ago.
Because you were at the studio.
I was at the Black Horse Motors, who I've slowly watched them knock it down over the last... They sold it, and now they're knocking it down. It's okay. The memories are over here, you know. So it's just a building with brick and mortar. Speaking of brick and mortar, Rick and Morty this Thursday. I do. That's how I do my ads. I try to make it go together, but yeah, you. Matter of fact, I'm gonna make it a little less bright in here, so while I compliment you, we don't have to look at each other.
All right.
Let's turn all the lights out, okay? No, Fred, you were always a super nice guy. You're a good guy. Like back when I was at the Comedy Works, and like I said, you know, you'd probably only been doing comedy 3 or 4 years, but to me, that was like, I mean, you had a set.
You and Weird with a Doorman, I remember.
We were. Well, we'd have to tell people to stay to their left because the hallway was so narrow. And when one show ended, they would have to shoot down the hallway, so we'd have to keep the audience waiting.
But you were a door guy at a comedy club?
Yeah.
Well, that's before I had my tattoo, so I wasn't. No. I did stand up, but I also did the door. Yeah.
And I remember Wid, this guy. Do you know who the legendary Wid is?
Oh, no, they're not familiar with. Yeah, yeah. Well, by the way, we should watch Wid because of
he's great. He does puns and props, but he's very clever.
You know, Louis C.K. mentioned his name out of the blue about a year ago, and I was like, "Wait, you know the Wid?" He goes,
He goes, yes. He goes, and he just went off. It's very hard to explain what he does.
It's like Carrot Top, but really clever. Like puns. Like,
I think it's different. It's like, I don't even think you have to pit one against the other.
Yeah, I'm not.
But no, not that you were, but I'm saying, because I bet it happens a lot.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing in a way. In a big way, it is a completely different thing. Plus that, you know, there's organization to what Carrot Top does, and there's all this stuff.
Right,
there's
right.
something about the mayhem of what the legendary Wid does. That the end of the show, it looks like you know, they literally took five dumpsters of stuff and just dumped it everywhere. And I don't know how the hell he finds it. And he reaches in. He'll reach in, dig for 2 minutes to do a 3 second joke, which is beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, and not always. That's not a shtick or anything. Sometimes he genuinely gets lost. He doesn't fake being lost. When he genuinely gets lost, and he can't find something. But anyway, the legendary Wid. So, back in then, used to come to the Comedy Works. But that's okay. We can talk about all that stuff. I really want to talk about Larry more. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. That'll make me...
Hi, Fred. How are you? I spoke to Vince D'Antona.
That's a tease.
All right.
Then later. There we go. So let's do the intro. Let's do it right. Wow, you're going to... Wow, sure, because...
This is the Todd Glass Show.
I like
it. The Todd Glass Show. Yes, it's the Todd Glass Show. Over there,
what?
It's Aristotle.
That's Aristotle.
He's the producer. He sits behind a glass wall.
You do have a glass wall.
Because it is a real show, and he is a real producer.
Well, real producer.
Aristotle sits behind a glass wall.
Wow.
And there is Eric Olson. Eric Olson. Eric Olson. Eric Olson paid me to say his name a lot.
Pause.
Let's say shalom.
Where did Eric go?
Where did Eric go?
Let's wait till he comes back. We're not going to...
Eric has left.
What happened?
And now he's back.
Eric,
is that back down with the disc?
Well, you did.
Did you have...
Well, unless I could ignore it, but I can't ignore...
That's about...
How can I ignore someone getting up from the table and leaving the room and not wondering where they're at?
Did you ever watch the movie?
Like, by the way, knew it wasn't an illness, but I did think, like, I couldn't stop thinking what it was about. And I also knew, to let you know what goes through my mind, I can do the show. I'm sure it was something. Eric's going to come right back. So then I just kept doing it. I'm thinking, be a professional, you know? And then I thought, oh, my God, it's my show. I could do whatever I want. And it didn't ruin it.
No.
I just found out what you were doing. So I don't think that ruins
it. It was a gamble.
It. But guess what? It didn't ruin
it. Paid off.
It sure. Thank you.
I see what
he. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't ruin it, and now everyone knows what happened. So what is the CD?
It's a movie, Fred and Vinny.
Oh right,
about Vinny D'Angelo.
Right. See, I told you it all would pay off.
I got this last time Fred was here at the other studio,
so we can talk about this.
Sure.
Here we go.
Home to Jingle Joe. He lives up in Portland, so he's not with us in the studio, but he does all the music for the Todd Glass Show. Why won't Joe move down here? That's
none of your goddamn
business. Then there is John Brand Wagner. He does.
There is Duncan. He does the soundboard. His name is Duncan. Then it's Duncan. He is Duncan.
Mention Duncan Carey once more. Let us not forget good old Johnny Colorado.
He's sitting over there. That's the puppet.
If we're lucky, Gabe will show up, or JJ will bring his trumpet. Get on up, dance around on the Todd Glass Show. Ori!
Wow, Fred Stoller, everybody. Sure, it's a big deal. I don't yell for nothing. This is going to be a fun show. Why? I don't know why. To George Carlin, though. It's all going to be great. It's all going
to
be great.
I don't
great.
Know if it's a compliment that I'm bobbing my head to this.
It's very catchy.
But it's someone else did it.
Ba,
so it's
ba,
not
ba,
like
ba,
someone originally
ba,
did it.
Ba,
you know.
Ba, 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 boo, 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 boo.
Fred Stoller.
Here we go.
I remember that.
From Everybody Loves Raymond and Seinfeld.
Yay!
He's also written some books, my Seinfeld year.
We'll edit this part if we have
and
to.
And maybe we'll have you back. The life of a perennial TV guest star.
Does this have a
Fred
suit?
Stoller's on the Todd Glass Show today. He's getting sued. By the inspiration for the character Kramer.
Is that okay?
Fred did
yeah.
tour as a favor.
Kramer called his slander when Fred told the truth. Fred Stoller's on the Todd Glass Show today.
Oh, God.
Fred Stoller.
Fred Stoller.
He's on the Todd Glass Show again with Tom Martin.
What? Oh, wait. Tom Martin's not here.
Ian's favorite, but back to Fred.
I must be the old
you. You know I saw him on Dodger Cast, and he was Rusty the Wrench on Handy Manny.
God, he does his homework.
Fred Stoller's on the Todd Glass Show today.
Wow. Love it.
Ba, 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 ba. Take it home, Aristotle. Wow, that was a little
anticlimactic.
Yeah, we had all the music. Thank you. Oh, let's try to make it better, but leave everything in. Okay, go back to the music.
Last guy did a drum thinger.
Well, I have an idea how we do it. If you mimic what I do, it works, and I always want to feather back in the reality. Watch this.
Fred Stoller.
Back to the show. Mumble background noise, gently return you. Fred Stoller's here.
Yeah, that song brings back traumatic memories of being sued.
So, you know what? I don't think I asked you. I'm not going to worry about the last show. I'm not going to get nervous. Oh, what did I ask him last time? Because, you know, I don't talk to you that much. What happened with the... do you mind talking about the lawsuit?
Not at all. Not at all.
How long ago was that?
Maybe 2 years ago. Wait, the book came out...
and he's...
13. Yeah, wow, that's already... 2-3 years ago.
Well, you know what? Let's edit this in. We'll make it look current. Say it was about a month.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
But there was
how
actually,
long was that?
There was actually another guy that banged on my door. I got a restraining order after this from the same book. But we'll make it current.
No, it's okay. I was teasing about it.
Oh, okay.
I was teasing. But wait, so why would... God, I'm such a good journalist. No, I mean, I really asked a lot of people. I'm very professional.
No.
So what...
this is his research. He listens to the song. And he goes, tell me about Rusty the Wrench. Now, your other book was my Seinfeld year. That's what the segment producer does. That's a song, and you pretend it's the intro, and that's your info. You got a scam.
God. All right, so you know what? Just to see how professional it is, because I do want to go new first.
Okay.
Aristotle has to remember, and boy, are the people going to get upset if he doesn't remind us later. Because some people go, he'll remind you later, Todd, but it doesn't mean you'll do it. I'll do it.
What?
So what is the book you have now out?
It's called 5 Minutes to Kill.
5 Minutes to Kill.
It's about the 1989 HBO Young Comedian special I was on.
Who was on that? Because it was David Spade.
David Spade. The way I came up with... well, I had this idea for a while because I thought it was interesting that there were 6 people on it, but our lives and careers had such a diverse trajectory. Okay, Rob Schneider, I was listening to him on another podcast. I'm doing an Andy Kindler. You know, you did a thing. You know, remember that? Remember when these guys are too young to remember, but when a guy would be on like a Tonight Show, they go, another network. You weren't allowed to say
NBC. Yeah, yeah, it was like a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, another network. Yelled at. So anyway, back to your story.
So he, Rob Schneider said on WTF, he goes, what was your break? He goes, the 1989 Young Comedian special one. What the fuck? I was on that. Why wasn't it my big break? I'm a loser. But, you know, and David Spade made it. I was on it. Drake Sather,
who unfortunately...
yes, this triumph and tragedy.
Yes, Drake Sather killed himself.
Oh, you gave away the book.
I did? No, it isn't.
You could.
Oh, shut up.
No, you could give it away. Like triumph and tragedy.
Should I take that out?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
Funny. Like a documentary because people figure out who's dead by who's being quoted. Rob Schneider was a great experience. Drake Sather, we loved him. No. So it's like those, you know, true Hollywood stories. Warren Thomas, who could also give it away.
Was Warren?
He's not around anymore.
Well, you know, it's so sad that
Warren
I forgot
Thomas?
That. I did, and that's embarrassing. But it happens in life sometimes, and I think probably, I guess it wouldn't be good to remember everybody that died. It would be sad. So maybe it's okay to let it go.
You
get confused.
Or you forget, oh, fuck, James Gandolfini's dead. That sucks. You know what I'm saying? You remember an actor all of a sudden. And Jen Karam, who
what is she doing now?
Well, if you read the book, no, it's
okay, you know, don't tell me. I'd rather read the book.
She's interesting. You guys don't know her. And the people say the interesting stories are the ones you never heard of.
I'm
going
to fade that music out, listeners.
Okay, so Jen was a precursor. You like the big word?
What's that mean?
before the beautiful hot women were doing comedy, like Whitney Cummings, Sarah Silverman, she's so big, I just say Sarah, and Amy Schumer. They women, I'd say, were very attractive, but they weren't acting sexual. And Jan was beautiful. So she's...
I'm sure she'll love to hear
yes,
that.
Yes, I put in the
She's still alive, by the way.
she also died, but a beautiful corpse. No. She's plugging along. And so it's all these...
By the way, I'm sure listening to you talk about her would totally cheer up.
Yeah, she's
plugging along.
she used to be beautiful.
She used to be beautiful.
Yeah, no, she's still very beautiful.
I know what you mean by that.
We went to Swingers yesterday.
She used to be beautiful. She still is beautiful. She used to, too.
She used to be young and beautiful, and like me and you. No, what the hell am I saying?
Look at me. Only thing about me, you got to admit, I mean, I still look great.
You do.
I don't know what the hell.
You know what I was doing? I was meeting people. Excuse me. I interviewed all these people I haven't seen in 30 years. Some are great to see. So three people, I would take people out to eat. Three Menches wouldn't let me pay. Dave Rath, Rick Messina, and Mark Brazil. If you know those guys. And so one of the women I hadn't seen in 25 years, so I'm waiting to meet
Who?
Her. My ex-manager.
Can I ask you a quick question so I know I'm following you and then I'm not interrupting. I'm interjecting.
Yes.
And you can fucking talk to my lawyer about that. I have a lawyer on standby. So you're still talking about which I remember that young comedian
yes.
special, by the way. It was actually a lot of funny comedians on there. And I genuinely mean that. I always thought you were very funny. I thought you were doing something very different when it needed to be done, probably more in hindsight than back then. But it was certainly... just something. I remember seeing a lot of comedians at the Improv, and then when I saw you, I was like, God damn it, like, you could do whatever you want, like, you don't have to.
You know, that got watered down when I'd have to headline when LA. When I moved to LA to afford to live here, you have to leave here. And I in Philly was and Washington and Baltimore yep. were the only like weekend gigs, but a schmuck like me who wasn't a headliner could make a living doing New Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut. Mm. A college here and there, not
well,
a big one.
You had a very polished act, and this was very
low key and depressive. It was very low key, subtle.
But you had to get the subtleties. But it was different. So then I see you on that special. So on that special, go rip through real quick. Is a Drake Sather.
Drake Sather,
Fred Stoller, that's you.
Warren Thomas. Who Chris Rock referred to as the funniest guy you never heard of.
Warren, by the way, was real. Yeah, I mean,
he
was really funny. A nice guy that you hear so often, but it's true. He was a sweet guy.
He was from San Francisco.
I forgot he wasn't dead. That's how much I love him.
Yeah, he was from San Francisco, and he was one of the only people, Greg Proops and a guy, Stephen Pearl, you may not have heard of, but
yes.
who could riff with Robin Williams, who could keep up. In the Bay, they used to riff, just as pop culture.
Never cared for it. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I want to be edgy.
No, I can't.
Okay, so you go to the Jen Karam. Rip through all of them together. So, Fred Stoller.
Yes. Drake Sather.
Warren Thomas.
Jan Karam. David Spade. Rob Schneider. And Dennis Miller hosted it.
And they did it at the Tempe Improv.
No. That was another one.
Okay, so no, I apologize. They did not do it at the Tempe Improv. And then this is about all their careers, how they took off, where they went.
Yes, this is you young, I keep saying you young guys.
Stop. Man. Right. They know comedy. It's like you don't have to talk to a young musician today and go, have you heard, you know, the Beatles?
But no, yeah. These were big launching pads. This was even before Comedy Central and something called Ha! Came out.
Right.
So these were, I mean, these young comedian specials broke Saget and Kennison and Seinfeld and Roseanne and Dice.
Well, Rodney had some young specials too, but
yeah,
they were different.
No, he had some young comedian specials, but then he had some others called It Ain't Easy Being Me.
Right.
And I remember I auditioned for Rodney in New York when I lived there. And again, he already didn't like that I take too many liberties. So
too many liberties. What did he mean by that?
Meaning I paused. I didn't. You know, you took too many liberties. You got to belt them out. You can't just stand there like a schmuck with your head down. You're a sad sack.
You took too many liberties. You know.
So,
well, you know what?
He wasn't.
He wasn't right.
You know,
so he wasn't. He can still be brilliant. He wasn't right.
But then
I'm sure he had a point.
But then when,
well, in case you know.
But then when I auditioned for him for the New York one at Dangerfield, I go, "What'd you think?" He goes, "You're too low key, all right."
And you're too low key, all right?
And I was kind of.
He says that really?
Yes.
Literally?
Well, and this guy, I don't know if you remember, Ron Richards was with me.
Yeah, I remember Ron Richards.
Yeah, and I said. I got,
he had a joke about it. He'd go into a restaurant and she, he wanted 12 coffees or something. And she goes, is that to go or something? I don't know.
Yeah. And
that so, wasn't his best joke, by the way. And I don't think.
Like you're just demonstrating.
And I delivered it not too great.
So Ron Richards said something profound. He said, that's a euphemism for no. Whenever they say you're to this or to that, I mean, they don't want you.
Right.
So I was pretty crushed. Actually, a Philly guy fits in this long-winded story. So I was so depressed because that was my only opportunity to be on a young comedian special in New York. And I was doing one of these Philly gigs with a guy named Mike Egan. Do you know him?
Yes.
And I remember he, at the time, had a 13-year-old son from another marriage. We stopped wherever he lived in, you know, Cherry Hill, to visit his son. And
can I interrupt you for real quick?
Yes.
Remember before when I said, oh, they know the Beatles? I get it. That wasn't appropriate because in some of these names, no, they're not household names. So they are names you have to go. So they never, any of these
no,
guys never heard of.
Not,
and by the way, they wouldn't have heard of these guys if they were 20
yes.
or 30 or 40 no, because guy, they just haven't been doing stand-up, some of these names.
This guy wasn't, he did well with radio. But the point of this stupid
Who,
story, yes, yeah. is that his son, I was all depressed. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a loser. I'm putting myself
down. Because you can't get on the Rodney
yes,
special.
Yes, and I was living or dying by the validation. And his son was, Dad, are you going to be on this cable access thing? And he's so excited. He's so proud that his dad's going to be in Scarpatti and wherever the hell that was.
Oh, right. They did a cable access show.
Yes. So I thought, wow, if I had a son... I wouldn't come home with my head down. I'm a piece of shit. Rodney doesn't want me. He'd be excited about anything I did. Oh, you're gonna, you know, you got to meet Robin Williams, my dad. So that led to my imaginary son Mitchell, because of Mike Egan, who was proud of everything I did, and I couldn't come home with my head down. I wasn't that insane where I poured cereal for my imaginary son.
Right, right.
But I pretended.
So what if you did? You know what?
That's all right.
Wait, so. What did he like?
He likes cereal, oh. and I took him to the zoo once. That's as weird as it got. But I'm going on tangents, but I got to say...
You're fine.
You know, don't read comments, and I made a mistake. And on Doug Loves... No, Doug, we got high. People didn't like me or you because we interrupt too much. And
me too?
Yeah.
Why do you have to throw me in there?
All right.
I never heard anything.
All right.
No, I heard about it.
No. But why are you judging a show where you get stoned?
Well, you know what? Can
this,
I tell you something? And then I want to go back to this,
yes.
the trajectory. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Of these five people?
And
sure, that's
stop
a big
interrupting.
Word. You can do whatever you want. I'm so mellow.
Yes.
And but I will ask you to put that water.
Oh, yes.
Know what to
on
do?
The
put
floor.
It there. No, put it there, like on that table. That way I won't hear it pick up and down as much. But it's okay. You're fine. Like I'm
codependent. I want to please. I don't want to
guess what
trouble.
You are. I want you to be the most relaxed you could possibly be. So if you go on a tangent, we'll come back. No one's in a hurry but us.
All right.
Sometimes I realize that later. The people listening are just... So, you know, as long as we finish thoughts, that's the only thing I try to give them. So that's the only reason. So, but back to this... the
trajectory.
Five, yeah, the trajectory.
Six.
Oh, but you were telling a story.
It wasn't that good. Mike Egan, I mean...
Okay, so those comedians... And were you able to talk, except for the two, unfortunately, who have died, were you able to talk to all the others?
Yes, yes.
And a lot
some
of
more than others. Some didn't... David Spade didn't... I think some people thought the pathology was mostly with the ones you never heard of. David Spade and Schneider were more the contrast, the opulent life. And it was funny because I was trying to...
Did Dave talk to you at all?
Just on speakerphone.
Just on speakerphone.
But it counted. When someone else called him and he didn't know he was in the room. Hey, Freddie. That's about what he said. Ready Stoller, Thrill Seeker. But
yeah, by the way, we know, like we would, David Spade and I would sit and do your, I gave him five.
I drank milk that expired yesterday.
Yeah, I'm a thrill seeker.
Yeah.
What else did you do? Because you were, that was your bit. Imagine me being, you know, I was probably at the time 20 or 19 or 18 even, going to see you do stand-up. And, like, I'd seen a lot of the same, and then you're up on stage. Me and my friends thought it was so funny. You go, I'm a thrill seeker. Give us some of the things you would say.
I was on a bus. I let go of the handrail. I took the bus to drive while the bus was in motion. I'll do it again. I don't care.
Yeah.
I was on an escalator. I let go of the handrail. Then I put my arms up in the yee.
I'm a thrill seeker. You bought a
Oh, I bought a pen for 79 cents. I didn't even try it out on a little piece of paper to see if it works or not. Then I ripped up the receipt. That way, if the pen doesn't work, I can't bring it back. The pen was 79 cents. I gave the cashier 80 cents. I walked the hell away.
We always thought that was so funny. I walked the hell away. I'm a thrill seeker.
Yeah, and I mailed the letter to my friend. I didn't jiggle the mailbox lid to make sure the letter went all the way down.
Dan Seinfeld. He's also written some books, my Seinfeld year.
Ba 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 ba. Back to the show, and right on back to the show. And Fred Stoller.
One joke doesn't work. I rented a videotape. I'm not going to rewind it. Let them pay the rewind fee. Some people don't understand that. Young people.
Oh, they understand.
They understand.
You know what we could do afterwards? We play
sometimes
this.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My
disposition. I found a song I could sing. Aristotle, give me a little reverb. Because I've been... Sometimes I'm happy. Now, what the fuck? Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition. You know what it is? It's hearing yourself. What if I don't hear myself? Oh. Sometimes... Now, that could be worse.
No.
All right, listen. Everything's fine. Back to Fred. So, the book is called...
5 Minutes to Kill, and they gave it a subtitle. How the HBO Young Comedians Changed the Lives of 1989's Funniest Comics. That's the subtitle to explain what 5 Minutes to Kill. Can you figure out why it's called 5 Minutes to Kill?
Because that's
how long your set was?
Yeah.
Your set on that special was only 5 minutes?
Yeah, what happened was usually the Young Comedian specials only had 5 comics, and David Spade had tried out 2 other times, and Dennis Miller was really pushing for him, but they picked us 5. And they created a 6th spot, so our time went a little bit down. And then Dennis Miller did a really long set, like 12 minutes, which you usually don't do with the host. They just go, hey, how you doing? I'm Rodney. Hey. All right, let's bring up the first fucking idiot. All right. A few jokes, yeah. But he did a crazy
killer
joke.
You know, it's all right, you know. You get too much liberties, you know.
Yeah. And so we only did 5 minutes. Yeah.
But you did, you had it, now my memory of it, you were you happy with your 5 minutes?
Probably not so much because, well, this theater, they ended up doing...
Where'd they do it? I thought
all
they
right,
did
All right, the Mayfair.
You know, the word out on the street is a lot of people think they did it at the Tempe Improv, but they didn't.
No, you're the only one.
Ah, shit, I was going to edit that part out.
The Mayfair is where they did the HBO half-hour comedy hour.
Where's that at, in L.A.?
That was right across... Did you... what year did you move here?
I moved here in about 89.
Did you probably remember...
Oh, so when you were 4?
Yeah, I was 4 years old.
When you probably remember the Santa Monica Improv. It was right across the street from it. And they also did the A-List, which comedians now call a list.
Yeah, right.
Because it was supposed to be the best comics.
I watched Sandra Bernhardt and Colin Quinn get into a big fight.
By the way,
Colin was 100% right and handled himself aggressively and beautifully.
What did she say?
She was not being nice. Very simple, not being nice. And he just said, look, basically, in short, you can't act above something when we're all doing it.
Yeah.
We're all here. Right. We're all here. We're all doing this. We all took it because we needed the money or we needed the exposure. Like, it's hard. It looks, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it was. You know. But Colin did it, you know, in his way. Anyway, that's it. A long old story, but nevertheless,
so it was
the A-List.
So yeah, that's what
edit
they did, the
out.
A-List. So the Mayfair Theater, and it wasn't like, it wasn't an intimate room where you know, like a comedy room where you're their level and you're blowing them away, and but it wasn't a big theater. It was a big industry crowd where every, you know, all managers and lawyers and accountants. I nabbed a showbiz accountant from it at the after party.
Wow.
Big contacts I
Would
made.
Would you say you're doing better than the 2 that died? I'm in your head. In your head. Let me explain something real quick, and then I'm not going to... The rest of the show, we're going to tag you. I want you to tag us with, like, wait till we say shit, play the fuck out of this.
It's one for the money, two for the show.
Okay, and the other one is Jerry Lewis. Who would you rather have, Jerry or Wayne? You get the... Every time
it's
you...
Well, let me just interrupt. The last time I was here, you turned me on to an Elvis song that I never knew before that I loved, and I forgot it.
So you want
to
hear this one?
No, what was the Elvis song last time I was here? It's one for the money.
I don't remember. Oh.
And you made me sing it.
I did. Oh, welcome to my world. Won't you come on in?
No, it was like
would you close the show with a song?
Yeah, I sang the last time this Elvis song that you thought would be funny, me singing it.
Wow, I don't know why I wouldn't be welcome to this. Welcome to the world. If Aristotle gave me echo. Well, Aristotle's mad at me. Welcome to my world. Won't you? I want to do a professional show. So hold on. So you can get this one
on Kindle single. It's on Amazon. It's only $1.99. It's these mini books.
Wait, yours is on Kindle what?
It's a Kindle single. It's only $1.99.
Wait, you get Fred Stoller's. It's on Kindle single. Yeah, Kindle single.
$1.99.
That's amazing. Sometimes, you know, you have to remember things. Some people say things are Kindle. What's Kindle what? A Kindle what? It's a Kindle.
My Seinfeld year was a Kindle single that did really well.
Seinfeld year. But the new one is called what?
5 Minutes to Kill.
Five Minutes to Kill. It's actually really good. It's on Kindle Wendell. Yeah, 5 Minutes to Kill.
Kindle
Wendell. I was hoping nobody heard.
Ask me if this is as good as my Seinfeld year.
Is this as good as your Seinfeld year?
It's better.
Hey!
It's no comparison.
Hold on. I want to fix something here. This isn't loud enough for me. How do we get it louder?
It's one for the money.
Louder.
For the show. Wow.
The music, it's not coming in loud enough for me. I'm going to treat you like the band. Go like that. It'll
be
fun.
It's bothering me.
Okay. Shh, I'm sorry. I'm doing a shitty job. But it doesn't take me long to do
Todd,
a good job.
You're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. But
especially the part where you sang.
So back to So we talked about the. It's called 5 Minutes of Chaos. What's it called?
5 Minutes to Kill.
5 Minutes to Kill. And by the way, now we'll return to that later. But now let's just. I have some very important questions
for
you.
Sure.
And people are going to be so proud of me. The lawsuit. What was the main reason?
In my other book, my Seinfeld year and all that stuff. I talked about when I was in New York City this guy they based Kramer on, you know, who Larry David used to live next to. He used to do a Kramer reality tour. And he heard I was in New York.
What does he charge for that? Do you know?
I was like, back 20 years ago, it was like $37. I hear he's still doing
it. And it was the actual guy.
No, not Michael Richards. The guy they based him on.
Right.
So, like,
does he get money from the show?
I don't know. I don't want to get sued again and say.
But I'll tell you this. I'd be curious to know because I'm sure whatever they did was right. But if it's I wonder if it's based on him and if he knows it. God, I'd be curious to know.
No, he knows it. What happened was.
Well, but why would he get money?
They wanted to use his name. They liked the name Kramer. And he goes, you could use it. One stipulation, I get to play him the show. And right away, Larry David said, absolutely not. And so I guess wanting. You know, to make money, he would rent a bus and go, hey, this is where this took place.
Okay.
And all the, I don't know
nothing
if he
wrong
would
with
say,
that.
Hey, yeah. So he heard, there was a guy, Bobby Allen Brooks, who I'm sure you don't know.
No.
And he would, Kramer was pretty low key, so he'd run up and down the bus screaming out expressions from the show. Everyone, the pick. And all these people are screaming these expressions. So he heard I was in New York and needed a place to stay. And he said, you could stay with me. I have an extra room, and it's air-conditioned.
Nice.
But you have to be the special guest on my Kramer reality tour. And I went, all right. And the second day, I was holding my hands to my ears. I couldn't stand the guy running up and down the bus screaming.
He's part of the shtick.
Yes, and screaming out. And I said my book, It's Lame, which is free speech. You're allowed to say it's lame. You know, it's an opinion, you know. So he got all mad, you know, and saying it hurt his business. And so he came up with a lawsuit that I said he was taunting gays on the bus, which is making me laugh. So
because that's not true, of course.
No, he sued me for $1 million. The way he came up with this.
Did you have your day in court?
Yeah, my lawyer had to fight this. You see, when you
in court, did you go to court?
No, that was in New York. They had oral arguments where.
That'll get someone to drop the lawsuit.
Yes. The way he came up with this is, I said the sidekick screamed out when they were in Greenwich Village, or something that. hey, this is where the gays are. Not that there's anything wrong with it. and he'd make them scream it out, which, you know.
Was on the show.
Yeah, it was an expression. So he twisted that to say, I said, when they were in Greenwich Village, he was sticking his head out taunting gays. laugh.
But you didn't say it.
No, I said that the sidekick screamed out, not that there's anything wrong with it. So he tried to make it like that he's banished in the gay community, you know, because the gay community loves
him. But all of his evidence is written in your book, correct?
You would think it's enough to go to court and go, hey, it didn't say this. He found a lawyer
who took it on,
who he convinced that's a gay slur. So they go to oral arguments, and the guy said, oh, and I'm getting neurotic. Going,
no, you're not. I'm giving you betting music.
All right.
You're going to love it.
So the lawyer was saying in 2015 or whatever it was, to subject people to the expression, not that there's anything wrong with it, to taunt gays, to be accused of taunting gays is the worst thing, these ethnic slurs. And then the judge said, wouldn't the Seinfeld fans know this is an expression? No, she said, isn't there air conditioning and the windows are shut and the gays in the street wouldn't hear this? And he goes, what if there were gays on the bus? And then the judge says, wouldn't they know this is an expression from Seinfeld? And he goes, but that's the worst thing you could say to a gay person. Not that there's anything wrong with it. So they threw it out when she heard that. And then he appealed based on the fact his lawyer never saw Seinfeld. So he told his lawyer that's taunting gays by screaming not that there's anything. But she said he wasn't sticking his head out screaming at gays, hey, you're gay, not that there's anything wrong with that. Even if he did say that, that's saying not that there's anything wrong with it. So basically, this is ridiculous.
No,
so,
stop it.
No, I'm saying the lawsuit's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, right, but they didn't. By the way, when they sue you for $1 million, if you don't have $1 million, where do you get it? Well, how can they sue you for $1 million? What happens if they win?
I'm speculating.
They get your tax returns for the next 40 years.
No, wow. He's speculating that they were going to pay money, nuisance money, to make it go away, which sometimes they do. Or the insurance people would see the cost, the crazy, and would just give money. Now I'm giving other people incentive to sue me. Hey, you get all this.
Well, anything you say, you're good with everything you said so far? Because I have a lawyer over there.
So basically, they threw it out, and then he appealed based on the fact, bad representation, that his lawyer never saw Seinfeld.
Where did the restraining order come in?
There was another guy.
Oh.
whose name I didn't mention in the book, and he would bang on my door and scream at me.
Why? What did you do to this guy? Not that you did anything to the other guy.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
There's
a thing, again, called free speech where you... I think because I'm a... You know, people think they could bully me because I'm skinny and I'm not aggressive like Dom Herrera. You know, they could take out their frustrations out on me. And, you know, they think a guy who I mentioned before I opened for, you know, yeah, if you get like a Big Jay Oakerson or something, they're not going to bully these guys. So people think they can.
They think they can bully
you. But they can't, Mr. Todd Glass.
No, look at me. I'm the nicest guy in the world.
You are. And let me, I'm going to interrupt because someone who interviewed this morning, a guy, I forgot his name already, Steve something.
Steve Young.
No, he has a podcast and he's from Philly. And he remembered I had a CBS jacket because I used to hand out CBS tickets. And a black guy that used to work the door, a big guy at the Comedy Factory outlet, said, oh, you lost this. I said, you could have it. So I'm a very nice guy. I gave a doorman a jacket.
Tell that story again. We'll play this in the background. Wait, I think we have some shots of the jacket.
I had a nice...
Here, put these up on the screen.
I had a nice CBS jacket and...
Look, here's your... There's the jacket.
I felt sorry for...
Look at the jacket. It's up on the wall. Sorry.
A black guy because he
There's the black guy. Is black that the black guy right there? Is that the black guy wearing your jacket?
And he was...
Who's this black guy? Is this a black guy wearing...
I don't remember his name, but Steve...
Why do you have a... Well, you brought...
Cooper. Cooper was the guy.
Yes. Is this him here? Is this Steve Cooper?
This is Steve Cooper.
Now, he's wearing a jacket, too.
And...
Keep showing more pictures while he talks.
I felt sorry for the guy, and I said, you could have the jacket, because I thought...
Why did you feel sorry for him?
Because I'm a fucking idiot that felt
sorry. No, hold on, hold on. We can't just plow past that.
All right.
You say, so you have a jacket.
I got into weed late in life, and this sounds like Jewish guilt, where... I go, this feels so good, I don't deserve it.
Oh my
I would
God.
Sip a lemonade, and I felt so high. There was a part of me go, I don't deserve this. I swear to God.
You know what? If you mention it, you can manage it. I bet there's more people that have those type of experiences.
Yes. They don't overcome it, so like Greg Fitzsimmons or Dom Arora. Hey, I'm scrappy. I'll punch in the neck. I'm little and I'm Irish. Fuck you. I own up to.
Did you have a problem with this Dom? Did something happen? Did he try to bully you? Because I got his number. I'll call him. I'll talk to him.
No, but I mean, other people. He doesn't take shit. Like someone would say, hey, you want to. That Comedy and Magic, we want you to. We want you to work for us. We want to see you first. Fuck you. You asked for me, and I want more money. You fuck. That's my Dom Herrera impression. But I
who's this picture?
That.
Is this pictures of you and Dom Herrera?
Yeah, him punching me. That's him bullying me. And
Fred Stoller.
Ba, 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 ba.
From Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, do, 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 do. He's in studio
he's
with us today.
He's also written some books, my Seinfeld year.
Ba, 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 ba.
You can get it on Amazon. Kindle.
And maybe we'll have you back. The life of a perennial TV guest star.
It's Fred Willard, everybody.
Stoller's on the Dog West Show today.
Did you say Fred Willard as a joke?
Did I say Fred Stoller?
You said Fred Willard.
Did I?
And don't bleep that out.
Nope.
I need more bully stories.
No,
I need to go be nicer to me than Todd. No, I'm just kidding. I have no self-importance about my name. If you see Stoller,
What do you think your best? What do you think your stand-up was is good? I want to see what your positive is, because I do. I want to know what you're positive about yourself.
No, I think these things I'm writing, my Seinfeld year.
You're proud of those.
And I make sure to go year, not year.
Thank you.
And these books, I could go dig deeper.
Do you enjoy writing a book?
I love them. I love writing. I love writing like this because, you know, I'm not... You know, following Jerry Schmuckhead, you know, with a flute. And
when's the last time you did stand up? Oh, was that a joke? You don't like to do stand up anymore?
You did stand up recently, right?
Why do you say that?
In the last couple of years?
Yeah. I was opening for Norm MacDonald a little bit.
How was that? Was that fun?
That's my next lawsuit.
No, and why? What happened
kidding.
With you and him?
It's a joke. He's going to sue me. He's.
I'll sue you. What can I sue you for?
He has great crowds.
I would think so.
They're there. They laugh. They're Norm fans. They even know me from doing his podcast. So you're not going to have to win them over.
No, it is funny how certain people, you know, and you could see why if you do a little groundwork. Oh, why is their crowd so nice? Well, you know, you could sort of see that would
make
sense.
$40.
I don't know why Fred has so much self-doubt.
Well, maybe that's what powers him.
I've been a fan since I was little.
Wow. From Handy Manny? No, that was in the song. No, that was. I did a kid's show. Hi, I'm Manny. About monkey tools that talk. I was the monkey wrench, and I used it at farmers market to hit on single moms.
Oh,
hi, 5-year-old boys. I'm a divorced, and I'm rusty. What's custody like? Do you go somewhere like Ventura? I hope. Fucking no. I don't know.
Oh, God, I love to hear the way you're... hold on. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Norm couldn't believe I was cursing in my act. He goes, you curse all of a sudden?
You know what? If you're not cursing in your act, then you're not being real.
Well, yeah,
no.
Cursing's cool.
Cursing's cool.
Yeah, I would imitate Larry David. Call me a fucking... You know, when I got my Seinfeld writing job...
I want to amend what I said about the cursing. It's probably not always true. Like, there's times even I think I should curse. I curse too much on stage, but I don't want to not curse at all either, because I do curse off stage. And there are times during my act I went, "Whoa, I just said fuck too much." Usually, if I get nervous or I'm anxious, I can.
You know,
I'll stop myself from saying fuck too much. But I don't want to say it not at all because that's bullshit if I don't say it at all.
The other day, my dad told me he watched someone special. I can't remember who, and he goes, "I don't know why they have to curse." Well, I don't know why he doesn't. Why that's a thing?
Because you said
he curses.
Yes.
His friends curse.
It's one
thing
if they.
What is this thing that comedians shouldn't?
great about Norm when I, you know,
does
I watch
he curse?
Him. He curses a lot, but you don't.
Good, he's good. He's cool,
but you don't notice it. It's not some of them obligatory, perfunctory, whatever the word is, gratuitous. It took me three shots to get it, but where it just seems like oh, then the fucking and the punchline is those fucking guys were.
Well,
there.
Let me ask you because
but Norm right. is yeah.
Well, because you know why I think cursing. We were talking about this last night. I think cursing bothers. Let's say someone who's not a comedian more than other things bother us is, yes, no one's defying you can curse and miss, you know, it's a crutch. It's a but we're not talking about all
funny.
Cursing. We're talking about when I'm getting, you know, we've all felt it. Every comedian listening knows what you're talking about. You're like, I said fuck a little too much tonight, just by your own standards.
But with Norm, it's how he talks. And this fucker was over here. And
but there's other tricks. And I think we hear, there's other tricks that are just as annoying as that. But the average person might not hear them.
I think that when the average person sees it, they're seeing comedians that we don't necessarily like either. It's not the cursing, it's the shit act.
Right. And
there
don't
happens
right.
to be
and,
a
and,
lot of cursing
and,
in it.
And clean tricks don't bother them. In other words, for me to see, to when I see a comedian maybe doing, there's tricks that are clean that are bad too, but they don't bother the average person as
like
much.
Like when you pretend like you're somebody, laughing at your own joke. When you,
you're going to make me laugh.
When you pretend you're laughing at your own jokes,
yes.
exactly. Or there's an old trick of getting someone in the audience, which seems a little formulaic, and going, Tony knows what I mean. Tony's over there. Those are tricks that would, or you know, oh, you're demented. I like this crowd. You're demented. Manipulation.
Oh,
for
yes.
me, that bothers me just as much. So
I used to do something where I go, so I'm asking out of women, because I one time made the mistake. Like there's a clump of them walking there.
Right.
So I faked the mistake.
A fake spontaneity.
I hate myself. Another reason I don't deserve lemonade and being stoned.
you faked spontaneity.
I faked making a mistake saying,
right.
I'm asking out of women. Women that I'm commenting on my mistake.
Right.
Like there's
right.
a clump of them walking
yeah,
up
why do
here.
I? Why did I just do a German accent? Because you do it every night.
Yes, yes.
And I, by the way, that's something I've done and I stopped doing because I smell. I smelled it early on. I think a comedian friend of mine, we might have talked about it. I'm like, yeah, he goes, you don't want to really
speak. I mean,
that's
equally as bad as laughing at yourself because you know what you're doing, but you're playing it off. Like
yeah, stop it.
We know comedians aren't good unless they know where the party people are.
Well, that's
at.
True. Sometimes
I'm happy.
Wow.
Sometimes I'm blue.
Why do I love this song so much? Oh, I have a good question for you, Fred.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And I don't want to.
No.
Well, I don't want to tell you what I think, although maybe I should just tell you. You'll give me your honest opinion.
Oh, but before you, when you say, what do I feel good about? I feel good about writing
your
like
books.
This. Yeah, I like writing like this, my point of view. But back to you, I will not interrupt again.
No, shut up. No, I don't mean shut up. That's not going to relax you. I want you to be, I get it. We're a lot alike. Yeah. You want to be, you get self-aware. But all we're doing is talking. It's all good.
All right. Now I'm going to show we're all neurotic, except for this guy.
for Aristotle.
A guy recognized me who directed porno films.
And he recognized you?
Yeah, it's some thing. And he thought I could help his career. He wanted to do legit stuff. So he goes, hey, you want to watch a porno film being, me directing it? And I'm going to skip all the graphic parts, but one of
all the
guys,
fun stuff.
He couldn't do the big, you know, the climax.
Sometimes I'm happy.
He didn't do what the most men like to see in a porno movie. So good for the shot, as they say, the money shot. So he kept saying, "Are you sure you got what you needed? Are you sure?" You know, like the way we go, you sure?
He's
was good,
insecure,
Todd?
Too, you
Yeah,
saying?
He was following the guy around going, no, we'll fix it in editing. No, I usually do a lot. You know what I mean? I usually, this today, though, you got. No, we could use with the other guy, make it look like it was you. So.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm.
No, I keep saying no, we're interrupting, thinking I had a good one. But.
You, everything's great. Right. Nothing is bad. The only thing that would be bad is if you weren't... Like,
went
you know,
out and shot
I
myself.
Know what you mean.
Yes.
Oh, shut up.
This is, I want you to know, Todd, this is the last of my podcast tour. I got really burnt out. I went to New York all over the place.
You're fine. Now, you know how I'm treating you like
shirts?
Norm. I'm just letting you be you.
Please.
That's at the best.
If you're treating me like Norm, I'd still be working with him.
No, I'm saying when Norm is at his best, I think it's when somebody lets Norm be Norm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's how I made the mistake the first time I interviewed him. Or had him on my podcast, I should say. I don't want to act too, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to, I did have a question for you.
Sure.
So I will tell you it's the Jerry Lewis thing. And I'm curious of your input on this. I'll go first.
Sure,
and I,
sure.
But I can make mine very short because we already talked about this.
And then we'll get to the lawsuit or the restraining order.
No, we did it. Nah, I don't want to. I don't want to have to. My lawyer said, don't talk about it. Close the chapter in the book. You get it?
Thank you. Hey, do you have a – let me ask you a question. Do you have a
game plan?
A lawyer on a retainer?
No. I had a guy – and he had a cap, but then we had to do some fundraisers. So, no.
Okay.
I think, no. Actually.
So, Jerry Lewis.
Okay.
So, I say, it's weird that I could be talked out of this with someone I really respect. But, you know, your opinion's your opinion, but sometimes you base it around. And Jerry Lewis, he's done so many fucking crazy things that I don't know if I could be subjective. But I think if I try my hardest to get rid of all the things, you know, the other bullshit sure. that he does, taking himself too seriously is the lightest, and then the things he said about women comedian that I don't agree with, and
right.
just, you know, you're a comic. Like, you know, you're supposed to let life give comics on the road a hard time. You shouldn't be another guy making somebody's life harder on the road by going, hey, you know what, just prepare. We're supposed to be a fraternity, every comic, and that's not fraternity-like. Anyway, that hits me the most because I'm a comedian. But anyway, all the shit he's done, believe me, that's not the worst of it. But and that he takes himself seriously. I'd say worse, like he murdered somebody. But
the
no.
defending hitting kids?
There's old video of him, and he's using his celebrityness to – and there's a brilliant therapist sitting on the panel next to him in 1968, and he's so cocky. Like if he was right about what he was saying, he would have looked fucking amazing. Here's a guy that's a comedian, and he's fucking forward-thinking when it comes to – if he was right what he was saying about hitting kids, it would have looked fucking great. Because when you're right and cocky, it doesn't end up looking that bad. But when you're wrong and a dumb fuck – but anyway, if I could separate all of it, all of it – and I know I can't, but I really do think I would still think – some of the silliness was brilliant. And
I didn't get when people were mocking France – they think Jerry Lewis is genius because growing up, I couldn't wait for a Jerry Lewis movie on TV.
There was a funniness about it, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get, you know, maybe yeah. Was he considered like Pauly Shore to like people?
No, well, no, I think that there's probably people over the fence. And you know what? Justifiably, maybe, like as much as I'm defending him in a way, I get it because.
Maybe because I look back on it and so I don't fully understand what was going on in the times. I just find it unnecessary.
But I think it stands the test of times, like the Nutty Professor and just him.
Whenever I go by Fryman Canyon, I go, Fryman, you know, it's still just funny.
Lady alone to go down in infamy, you know, like Lady, and I want to hear what you have to say, but I remember this one more thought. And also the whole thing with like last night when he was singing and it got to him and he was really bad. What was that thing we were watching?
Oh, with Dean Martin.
It was Dean Martin and they were singing. What were they singing? When the moon hits the eye, and then it got to him, tippy tippy, you know,
tippy tippy day.
Yeah. Duncan, I'm interested in your perspective because what is your perspective on Jerry Lewis?
I was gonna say, well, just like the historical context kind of thing. Like, I feel since he was doing slapstick too, that's like harder because like it's a more polarizing style of comedy in general too. Like, so looking back on it, you might not understand like, oh, this like he knows what he's doing. This is pure silliness as opposed to just like, well, that's not like a super well written joke or anything like. Three Stooges are a perfect example. It's not like they were sitting in a writer's room discussing things and like doing storyboards and stuff. Like, no, see, I'll just pop you on the head. We'll go on the next scene. Like, it's just like a different type of doing comedy, I feel like, too.
But after all that, you're like, but I don't like him.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still an asshole.
No, but
yes, yeah, from the actual comedy perspective, like I feel like it's a contextual thing more than anything.
I guess what I'm saying is when you watch the old clips with him and Dean and Rickles.
You think they don't need him?
They don't need him. To me, it's not necessary or as good as some of the other stuff that's
going
on.
And by the way, it's funny. I say the same thing every time. Socially, I'll dig it into the dirt, you know, when it's hard for me to stop. But with stuff like this, I am able to get to the point, especially with this. I mean, there'd be certain things I wouldn't want a gray area.
But there are moments where you did make me laugh.
Yeah, where we don't have to agree. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, you ever have someone say they like a show and then someone else says they don't like it? And they're never going to – and they always keep trying to tell each other why. You can sort of – but I do like to know because the more people you ask, the more you get like a sort of like, what is the word? Because I don't ask that many people, what do you think of Jerry Lewis? I just,
because, you know, is it like Sinatra where he transcends his bully reputation, you know, where some people can't get past it, but... I mean, you wouldn't have Martin Short, all his genius, without a lot of Jerry Lewis. He's mocking him, and just spazzing. It cracks me up. People didn't like Eddie Murphy's Norbit, but I found...
I don't like what he did for the kids with the Jerry Lewis telethon. I thought that was rude. Nah, you know what? That's not nice.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now that... did you hear about Don Rickles?
That he died?
Yeah. Now that he's gone, who is...
Oh yeah, who
the
would you say
comedy legend? Who is if you is had to pick bit, one legend of comedy?
Is this a
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, I think we could all go around. And,
yeah, I think we have a bit though. We're gonna give us a bit.
This next bit is about a guy who does something, and then somebody does something else.
Okay, sure, that's what's gonna happen. Somebody's gonna do something.
this is an easy one.
Who's
alive?
Who out of who's alive, like now that Don Rickles, and I'm going to limit it to stand-up comedians.
Okay, stand-up.
Otherwise,
right. Well,
I'm going to include, there's somebody that, the only one person I would think, if I make it stand-up comedian, you might think I'm not including, and I am, because they did stand-up, and I don't want to tilt you.
We have the same one, I bet.
Bob.
Newhart.
Bob Newhart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do include Bob Newhart. Mm-hmm. He did do stand-up.
Now, so who does it encompass the whole career or just the stand-up?
But he's known more for the Bob Newhart shows.
I know. Well, look, the only reason a question is hopefully because you have to narrow it down somewhat. I'm not saying narrow it down officially, just whatever I'm making up. And I'm going to make up that it's more of an interesting thing since Don Rickles was a stand-up. The stand-up comedians. And then the next question could be, how about anybody next in line? But not great directors, they did sketch. I'm saying stand-up comic. And I do include Bob Newhart in that. So
but
who
he's
would you
more known for I know. Acting.
Who would you say?
Let Jackie you go Mason? Nah, he's not legendary. Even though he's great.
Do you know who that is, anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
Not really.
Do you know who Jackie Mason is?
He's not legendary. Besides, who's alive? Not Dick Van Dyke. you.
No, stop.
You're pointing to
him. Come on.
Just because I pointed to myself.
Todd is great.
Would you know?
Todd is great.
So if you had to give a name, who would you give the next in line?
Like, mean an old legend.
An old legend.
Who's the stand-up legend?
I guess besides you.
No, I'm not.
Joan Rivers would have been good if she's not dead. She would have been perfect for this answer.
We said Steve Martin, but the problem is, I know, you can't. How many rules can you keep? And they still have to be doing stand-up. I don't know. Do they or
no,
not?
No, I don't think so.
No, then Steve Martin, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, you think of Don Rickles as more of a purist stand-up than Steve Martin, because Rickles...
But he's definitely a stand-up, hands down. So I would put him in there. The thing is, I'm putting him in there doesn't mean I'm putting him in there for you. You could pick some of the ones I'm naming or pick your own. I'm not just making a list like I'm people's... Top 100 comedians. Yeah, because you decided. And that's why when my name didn't make it in a list,
no, wait.
I had to remind myself, this is not official.
It has to be based on stand-up, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think we're saying the next in line, the next great stand-up. Otherwise than that, it's just people that are alive.
Leno. No, it could be like Mel Brooks. I was going to say Letterman, but...
Leno got a bad rep after a while, but
Leno definitely belongs in there. Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it does. No. I keep thinking belongs in there. It's what you think. No, I would not put Leno in there as standing the test of time. Me personally, if he stopped doing the comedy back when he was a club comedian and killing, but no, I don't think it. You know, I don't think it transcended. I don't think you watch old. I don't think you watch Leno on talk shows now, and Leno's young. Like you watch Rickles, or even bring up Jackie Mason if you ever see him on. I've heard Jackie Mason on radio, or Pat Cooper, even guys like Pat Cooper. I don't even know if Pat Cooper's alive anymore, and I hate to do that to a human being, but my point is, I heard Pat Cooper on a podcast, and he's like, boom, 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 and he'll make like he's still fucking funny. He used to be on Stern a lot. Leno never did that for me, you know, so I don't look at him as like. This guy Pierce. That was 60, 70,
Whoa, wait,
80,
I
just
got it,
funny
I got
in his
it.
Bones. Who?
Seinfeld?
I was going to say, a lot of people would say Jerry.
I mean,
it's up to you, by the way.
He a definitive style he created. And I got to say, when I worked on Seinfeld that year, he was, I didn't realize how funny he is just off the cuff.
Well, he would definitely be. Yeah. He would, I mean, it doesn't mean it has to be your favorite comedian. I guess I'm all over the place on how you answer this. I don't think, you know, no, because Seinfeld isn't going to recently with his stand-up make me bang on the ground laughing like when I watch an Eddie Pepitone or somebody like that. But there's no doubt that he, I mean, to leave that type of imprint on comedy, and that's separate from the show. I mean, I think it also hurts guys when, like, we look at a guy like Jerry Seinfeld, and even though he doesn't look as young as he did, you know, 15 years ago, he still looks pretty, you know, he looks good. So I'm looking, in our heads, I'm thinking of Rickles, like, who's the next? But, you know, well, he just looks good. Don Rickles looked like he was 80 when he was, you know.
But still doing it pretty much to the end.
I know, they said that the ultimate compliment of Don Rickles was he died of old age with dates on the books.
Ooh,
I think like he had a few dates in the books.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's not necessarily stand-up, but I mean, with where podcasts are these days, the 3,000-year-old man and everything, or 2,000-year-old man.
I was 2,000.
Mel Brooks would be my pick if you didn't put that requirement of stand-up. Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like podcasting, essentially.
By the way, you
just record bits together.
But since there is the requirement of stand-up, I'm going to go a two-way tie with Steve Martin and David Letterman.
Oh, yeah, I forget David Letterman used to do stand-up.
Neil Hamburger's still alive.
But those guys retired, so you're talking about people who kept
They're
doing
legends,
it.
Though.
Oh, legends.
Yeah, they'd
oh,
be legends.
Oh, still doing it. That's a whole
I know.
Other.
By the way, I think instead it's still doing it. Yeah.
Like John Rivers
still doing
amazing.
It.
Yeah, still yeah. doing it is the fun question to me.
Okay.
Because it narrows it down. Otherwise, it's too wide of a question. Stand-up comics still doing it. And then if you want to go to directors and actors, but okay, let's re-ask it. Stand-up comedians still doing it. Obviously, Seinfeld's still in there.
Brian Regan. I mean, he's been doing it for quite a while.
I don't think people are going to look
at him. I look at him still as a not, like, yeah. I mean, believe me, he's my favorite comedian. But yeah. I'm looking at, I guess it's so hard to answer this because we're not being fair to our own question. We're like going, no, Brian Regan's still, like, he doesn't look like he's 80 yet, you know. But, no, he would be.
Because I mean, he's been doing it, what, since, like, the early 90s at least, right?
Yeah, probably since the late 80s. When did you start? Let me guess to see if my math is somewhat right. Do you care?
I had a false start and then quit.
That's what I heard. Yeah. No, I didn't hear that. Okay. Hold on. Let me guess. Because when I started in 81 and very shortly after you were there, you had to start in like 78 or 9?
That 78 is when I passed auditions at the Improv. I remember Robert Wall was the MC. Chris Albrecht, who ended up running HBO, was the manager of the Improv.
Right.
And I remember I went on late at night, and Bran von Hoffman, took over for Robert.
Who was a Nazi.
Yeah. Did you know him?
No, I didn't. Okay, I was kidding.
But he was. And
no, he wasn't.
No, I'm just.
What, do you want a lawsuit?
No. He made jokes about it. Good-looking guy. And, yeah, so I used to hang out with Gilbert Gottfried. Steve Buscemi was called Stephen Buse. And he used to go on stage, and he was skinnier than me, take his shirt off, make muscles. And Keenan Ivory Wayans would work the Improv on Tuesdays, run it, and he'd put Steve Buscemi on just to laugh at him. So in 78, yeah, it was right before the comedy boom started. I didn't go into stand-up because to be cool, or I didn't know. I was pathologically shy and depressed as a kid. It's going to shock you. And I knew the real world wasn't for me. I knew, what the fuck am I going to do? How do you be a dentist? I was freaked out. I'd go to camp and everyone, you know, my father owns a dice company. What am I going to inherit? What do I do? And they're playing dodgeball. I was this kid depressed. How can I function in the world?
He owned a company that made dice?
Yeah, one guy goes, I'm taking over my father's dice company. And another guy goes, my father's a factory, and all the workers would go, he's going to take it over. He's going to be a boss. Yeah, I'm going to be a boss. So they all had things they're inheriting, and I was like depressed, going, what can I do in the world?
I thought the same thing, and that's
really?
Why I stayed. Yeah, very much. I remember thinking, I thought I could do like maybe landscaping, but the problem was my brother pointed out.
And that
years
sounds like
later,
Jerry Lewis. Landscaping.
Landscaping.
See, he's funny.
Sometimes happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you.
I'm going to contradict everything. I think Jerry Lewis is the oldest living legend. He's a legend.
Sometimes I'm happy.
I'm not saying it to be ironic.
You know
I,
what?
I love him.
He might be right.
You know, I think he...
How do you not include him, right?
How did he transcended, he created that whole persona that, you know...
Lady alone. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're not overanalyzing it. Even someone that doesn't like Jerry Lewis, if Lady's done right, when there, who doesn't smile at Lady? On that alone, holy shit.
But even if he did...
Lady!
Whoa.
Sometimes I'm happy.
Hold on.
He's not getting it. He's not laughing. That bothers
me. He doesn't have to. He loves everything I do.
He's not getting it.
Aristotle loves everything I do. He told me that many years ago.
He doesn't like the answer.
He
doesn't like the answer.
You don't like Jerry. Oh, who would you say, Aristotle?
I don't know. That's the problem. I can't think of anyone other than.
You know, you wouldn't have Gilbert Gottfried was introduced, influenced by Jerry Lewis, the kind of that politically incorrect, like making fun of Asians. But the buck teeth, it's still funny. I'm sorry. Don't edit it out. I'm saying it. I'm going to have backlash on Twitter like Kathy Griffin. I don't care. I'm not apologizing. But when Jerry Lewis does, I never saw Breakfast at Tiffany's. That probably was too much with Mickey Rooney.
Hey, by the way, things can be okay at one point and then you move past them. It doesn't mean you have to act like I really don't want to discuss this as much, but I have to get past it. The rules I make for myself on what I grow past and what verbiage I use
at the time
is on myself, not because of any outgoing forces. So, but I can look back at that and go, it's funny. Would I do it today on stage still? Not only because it would be as been comedically done by Jerry Lewis, that would be the wrong reason to do it. But let's say Jerry Lewis didn't exist. Would I do it today? No. But that doesn't mean... Now, other things I would be embarrassed to laugh at back then. I would go, oh, that's embarrassing. I just didn't understand the plight of those people. Now I know those people. Now I know that group. Now I have friends that are that or this or whatever it is. I'm more in touch. But I would be embarrassed. But there's a lot of things I wouldn't be embarrassed, but even though I outgrew them. And that would be one of them. The teeth thing for now, no. You don't need to put in buck teeth and imitate Chinese people.
Keith Heitch, right? Great guy.
Yeah.
He was on...
That was a long speech I just gave.
Auditioning for Last Comic Standing... And he was making fun of those old kind of kamikaze movies, you know, imitating them. And he put the teeth on, like, ooh, a Japanese guy. And Steve Schripper and Belzer were booing him. But he wasn't, he was making fun of racist stuff. All right, here's a good story, I think. Tell me.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue.
Mike's a comic.
My disposition depends on you.
Mike, I wonder if someone...
We're taking it in for the close, by the way.
I wonder if someone could count how many times I said I'm not going to interrupt anymore. If they
you're
listen
not interrupting,
to this. 48.
You're interjecting.
Mike Zaccone.
That was interrupting.
You booked a room somewhere in the Philly area. Do you know Mike Zaccone?
I didn't book a room.
No, Mike Zaccone.
Oh, yes, of course I know Mike Zaccone.
And I did a joke that you can't, you know, politically incorrect, you can't say retarded. Now it's mentally challenged, but my joke was I married my cousin and she was sterile, so we had to adopt retarded kids. So he's. I'm not making fun. I'm not going, hey, you know, hey.
By the way.
Not being Trump.
By the way, I still. I'm going to want to. I think that joke's very funny, and I've quoted that joke. And
but they were booing me.
But, well, it becomes a time where...
That the word's going to trigger.
The word
just triggers it off, even though I'm not being Trump going,
no, you're mocking. I think
you should know going into it that that's going
to
happen.
You have to know it. At one point, you have to, I think, take responsibility. We're saying the joke is if someone... Here's what I think. Tell me if I hope I say it great. Right. Forget about the jokes that involve something that's a little taboo that are shitty. What about the ones that are even good? That's the one we're talking about, because I throw yours into there. Your joke, if we're going to overanalyze comedy for a second, which I'm going to, if you put a magnifying, at least I hope mine matches up with yours. The reason that joke is funny is because it's the absurdity of that they couldn't have their own kids, so they would have to
adopt them.
Right.
But
now the word has been talked about, that it's been used as a slang. So you sort of have to go, even though if they dissected it, a comedian, if you could dissect a joke and find out if it was clever or not, and they dissect that one. If they had time,
right,
they would go, oh, that's actually a funny joke. It happened.
Well, I don't.
But
like,
they don't have that time. So you have to be responsible, not you meaning you, right, you meaning everybody, that when they hear a word, they do, I think, I forget who said this, but I love the term. You make them do social math. And that means that they have to stop and go, hold on, I don't mind laughing at a joke about AIDS. I don't mind laughing at a joke about a transgender people. Is it a joke? They just want to make sure it's a good one. It's a clever one. That the topic is
not off.
You're
not making fun of them.
Right. Or could they laugh at it, the one with the best sense of humor in the world? So you're making them do social math, and you have to sort of take that into equation and rethink the way you set up your joke. I used to do a joke pro Oprah, which was not bullshit, just so later I could make this joke about women, but I thought that's a good place to put it. I had a very ironclad joke about people that went, I hate Oprah, and I would affectionately clobber them because I thought, oh, shut up, I hate Oprah. Yeah. Maybe some people feel differently. But then I would talk about that, I'd do that joke, and then I did a joke 2 minutes after that that they could have perceived me being sexist. It helped that they knew I wasn't. Like, they knew my perspective. So, you know, anyway, enough with that. Who cares? I hate myself just like you hated yourself 10 minutes ago.
You are so infectious that you make me passionate for stand-up just being around you, and I want to do jokes again.
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about? There's something about this guy.
Really? Well, I'll take any compliment because I felt. Yeah, it's the Todd Glass Show with Fred Stoller. He's going to make your pants want to get up and dance.
You make my pants want to get up and dance. You make my face want to wear.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
You make my knees need us to breathe. I don't even want to kiss me again.
What a great song. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Pants want to get up and dance.
Great.
You make my day, my day.
Back to the show. Right back to the show.
With Fred Stoller.
It really does work from the music. I like doing it that way.
Oh, man. Good guy. I don't know. I just like...
Do you do any impersonations?
Jamie from... Hey, buddy, we have the best comedian, Laugh Factory. Oh, we guarantee the laugh. La Marada.
Do you do Ray Romano?
Hi, I'm Ray Romano, because it's me.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? I do other people doing Christopher Walken. No, Taxi Cab. I do Jamie. Do I do anyone else?
That's all right. I just like to ask. Let me ask you these pictures I'm about to show you. What are these? What's that picture? By the way, can I tell you the truth? I hate this game. Daniel Kino hates this game. It makes you have to do improv, but I always want to throw it in front of a guest. What is this picture right here?
That's Richard Dreyfuss spitting at Ray Romano.
Now, what is this?
This is the time, the oral arguments for my law case and me crying in the back.
What's this one?
When Todd was between Treat Williams and John Goodman. You said you used to look like him and him.
Well,
see?
I used to change my joke. I used to change the joke. I used to say I look like Fred Flintstone and Scott Bakula. Then I look like Fred Flintstone and Treat Williams. Then I look like Fred Flintstone and who's the guy who
John Goodman,
Mel Gibson.
And there was another guy who got in trouble. He was in a war. He was in the military. He was like a general. And then he ran for election.
Patton?
No.
Arthur?
No, stop. I'm talking about during my life. Oliver North. Thank you.
Three chances.
Thank you. That's the name of your book. Give me three chances, Duncan Carey.
Duncan, three chances, Carey.
What is this picture over here?
This is me texting you going, could we do this again, Todd? Are you sure it was good?
Here's all I come up with for this bit. Go through a few at once. Oh, there. Oh, look, there's me with my foot in a bucket of shit, another bucket of shit. There's me with eating shit. That's all I can come up with my improv bits. Oh, play me some more. Oh, why is that elephant? Why are you fucking that elephant? Oh, look at that. That's Eric with his cock in a bowl of strawberries. Oh, Duncan, why are you... This is shitting in your in a bucket of
strawberries.
It's harder to improv than you think. That should be the name of it.
I loved you on that stupid, what was that thing where, what's it called, bucket list or, Oh, I'm at that
set
age.
Set list, yes.
Set list.
It's hard to do.
Why is it cool? Like, whose line it is anyway? They don't go, ooh, they're the coolest. Why was set list so cool?
Well, set list was fun.
But I like how you did it, where I don't know.
Oh, well, they let me mess around with the conventions of it. But I like to watch people do that show that were good at it. It was fun. But I got too nervous doing it. It makes me too nervous. Oh, here's what we're going to do. Take a deep breath, everyone. Well, everybody, it always goes so quick. It's that time. We have to go in for the close. Fred, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Eric, thank you. Aristotle, thank you. Duncan, thank you. John Brand Wagner, you were missed always. Always missed here in spirit. Jingle Joe, you are here in spirit. Lynn Shore, you better do a jingle if you want to be here in spirit. But I'm going to let you... Hello. But it was fun. This was good. You're
Johnny,
good.
You did great, even though
Johnny,
you
I know
tonight.
You're just... look at Johnny waving. So
it's
adorable.
It's like we didn't talk about Larry's puppet.
I know, we didn't.
Hi, puppet. Look, I had a puppet. Hi, this is my puppet. Inside joke with Todd. Vince D'Antonio.
We'll have to talk about that next time.
All right.
Now we you know how do you bring a show like this to close? How do you make it unique? What do you do? What?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. The bottle's in the way, but other things just make you swear and curse.
You're doing great.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle. Give a whistle. And this will help things turn out for the best. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. If life seems jolly, run, listen, cock-up, set up a laugh.
Don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips. And why is it going fast?
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the light side of life.
Life is quiet, absurd. No, quite absurd. And is death the final word? You must always face the curtain with a bow. About your sin, give the audience a grin. Enjoy, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death.
Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. I'm sorry, it went before the purple. Don't start again. They like this. Life's a laugh, and that's a joke. It's true. You'll see it's all a show. Is this a thing you play, a prank, make it go fast? Laughing is just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look
on. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on, guys, cheer up.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Always look on the bright side of the life.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Worst things happen at sea, you know. Always look on the bright side of life.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear, not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like, the way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. But it's you I like, every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. And I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you, it's you I like.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.